Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I was on Coast to Coast AM last night in the first hour. And George Norrie asked me what I thought about the BP spill. And I told him that all the evidence points towards a false flag attack. And I've got Paul Watson and Steve Watson working the last week researching the oil spill. The definitive report, now 40-plus days after, will be published in the next 2 hours at prisonplanet.com. We've all been working on it together. It's not 100% that it's staged, but all the evidence points towards it being staged. And it is 100% that they are allowing it to continue and that they want it to be a bigger disaster as a pretext, as the Washington Post reported last week, for Obama to pass his new carbon tax, a wellhead tax, a gas pump tax, a energy tax, all levied in the name of cleaning up the Gulf. And they're not letting the public witness what's happening. They're not letting people in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida put up their own sand berms or their own systems to block the oil from going into the estuaries, into the brackish water areas where the rivers and streams enter the mangrove swamps where it's most destructive to the fisheries and the communities. The feds are a bunch of control freaks, and they're in there accentuating the crisis as much as they can. And I'm not the only one saying it. Many other analysts across the board are saying, look, Obama wants to nationalize the oil companies. And the big top mega BPs, ExxonMobils, and others, they're already nationalized. They're already owned by the big central banks that are the global government, that's merged with our national government. And their specialty is doing things to themselves and then having presidents, prime ministers, CEOs fall on their swords, but then the power structure expands its control. Remember Katrina? Day one, it turned out FEMA had done drills of cutting off the cell phones, cutting off the police radios, not allowing aid to come in. Then when they actually had Katrina hit, they did that. They cut the cell phone towers, cut the police control towers, wouldn't let local police or even the National Guard at the beginning or the Coast Guard or Walmart come in and help. People said, why 4, 5, 6 days, no food or water, stacking it up, not giving it to people inside the Astrodome? Why not let people walk out on the high and dry highways out to other areas? Because it was all a laboratory, a test, an experiment, a drill. The Pentagon calls Iraq a laboratory. They call, when they have military drills in the U.S., a laboratory. They call Afghanistan a laboratory. They're now injecting police with steroids all over the nation publicly. You know, a few years ago, it was the big secret that a third or more cops were on it. Now they're putting them on speed. The military's on steroids and amnesiacs and hallucinogens and mind control drugs. Now publicly. It's all a giant experiment. This is a scientific dictatorship. The globalists don't care about celebrity and about looking like winners. They want to be winners. They want to be controllers. They feed you issues and distractions and things that don't matter because, yeah, they're going to get a carbon tax out of this. At least that's their goal. They're going to get more control over onshore drilling. They've already had a total ban on already permitted wells in the Gulf. And now they're going to use it to nationalize, to a greater extent, our energy system. Because there are so many wildcats and independent groups out there producing oil in this country, they want to shut them down. The monopolists want to shut it down. But here is the most important point of all of this. When we get back, the most important key overarching reason that bare minimum, they are not letting the full scope of the disaster be known, A, and B, allowing it to continue, doing everything they can. I mean, we know they're blocking known fixes. We'll be back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, we have clear, incontrovertible evidence of prepositioning of financial assets to profit the globalists in the week before the oil spill began a month and a half ago. We have absolutely crystal clear evidence of that. Namely, Halliburton bought up a oil spill company a week before that operates in the Gulf. Halliburton had the contract with a subcontractor on the Deepwater Horizon out in the Gulf of Mexico. You have the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Chief Tony Hayward, selling his shares, a record amount of shares, in the weeks before the oil spill, over a third of his shares. You have Goldman Sachs, I mean, we heard rumors of this at the time, but now it's confirmed via Federal Trade Commission filings, FOIA request done by Raw Story, and it reports that 4,680,822 shares, or 44%, but then I went and did some research. That was one of the dumps 2 days before, a day before they dumped some more. So it was over 50% total of the Goldman Sachs stock in British Petroleum that was riding high at the time. This oil well of 3,000 plus U.S. licensed oil wells, it's 3,000 plus, you can look it up. I don't have the actual number in front of me. I think it's 3,300 and something. But the point is, it's over 3,000 U.S. licensed oil rigs in the Gulf. And out of 3,000 plus, a safety video was shot for the White House and about environmentalism. And Obama gave one award to that oil rig. You have BP being the top globalist oil company, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, one of the big owners, as well as Dutch Rochelle. Those two companies are partnered. The Queen of England owns a large portion of British Petroleum, of course. British Petroleum is allowed to get 80% under government agreements since the 70s of the oil that comes out of Alaska. You're only allowed to have one pipeline to the U.S. The rest is all sent to Japan and China. See, it's all a cartel. It's all rigged. We have one of the most controlled energy industries in the world because the Rockefellers didn't discover oil, but within months of it being discovered, they discovered the way to create a monopoly and to bring it to market. And so it was the United States that created the oil industry worldwide. It was the Rockefellers, and they created the monopoly. And in 1906, they got their supposed monopoly busted up into, what was it, 8 different major oil companies. Those later split into several more, up to 12 and then 14. But the Rockefellers to this day are tax exempt. The public sure busted up the trust. See, back then, trusts were known as mega monopolies. So they spun it and they said, well, we'll have a new trust. We'll be tax exempt and we'll break up our companies and divest our control of them, which didn't really happen. And so then they could have 14 different oil companies, not just Standard Oil, and jack up the prices on you. And it's the same thing with diamonds, same thing with water, same thing with timber, same thing with three big companies controlling almost all of the corn and wheat and soybeans and canola. And they're busy mopping up. They write the federal regulations to shut down their competition. And if they need to stage a crisis to consolidate power, they're going to do it. And they cover all their bases. Why do you think that BP and Archer Daniels Midland Company and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the UN, they all have gone in together on no fewer than 50-plus emergency underground guarded by machine gun nest and pillboxes seed vaults. Oh, yeah, their seed vaults in the U.S., India, England, Russia, Japan are guarded by armed guards. Now, at the North Pole, they've got quite a few of these installations. They don't need to because they're hundreds of miles from even the smallest town and are a giant iron fortress doors. You can just go to YouTube and type in Arctic Seed Vault, And you can watch the newscast. Big, giant, armored doors that it'd take 100 pounds of C4 to get into. Those are the only ones that aren't guarded. Because they don't need to guard them. Okay, so they're guarding original non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds in fortresses. Because they're going to infect everything. In fact, we've even seen them brag about this, the big GMO companies. They're going to infect every major seed line of every food crop. And it is then going to come out in the news later that it's sterilizing everyone on the earth. And they're going to say it's an accident. And they're going to admit that it's jumping into other species of plants and insect and animal because they're mixing mammal and insect and other reptile genes into fish, into other mammals, into major food staples. And they knew from day one that they can make the desired change, but then it randomly then creates other mutations and that they've suddenly got oak trees growing corn, you know, out of their seed buds in the spring. I mean, it's just an absolute nightmare. They're polluting and destroying everything, and you're not going to hear one stinking environmental group ever talk about the real environmental holocaust and red-level emergency going on everywhere. No. No, you're going to have BP and the UN say, we're going to tax carbon that humans exhale. And I pointed out that's a war on the carbon cycle and a war on humanity and all human activity. And I said, you watch, they're going to admit it's meant to target humans as a tax. And then Bill Gates and the UN the last 3 months, they all come out and say, yeah, humans are the problem. We can't just cut our other carbon footprint. We got to cut humans. And the average soft, lazy, decadent yuppie who's weak and pathetic will say, well, we do have to get rid of the Africans or the Latin Americans or the Asians. There are too many of them. Hey, those people are 10 times harder working than you are. They didn't have the ancestors that set up the republic that produced all this wealth so you could become decadent slobs. They understand more and more what they're up against. And let me explain something to you. You are the target of this New World Order eugenics. You slack-jawed, dim-eyed, weak. You know, I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I was really hungry, so I pulled into a diner, La Madeleine, real fast on my way to work because they can just, boom, give you an omelet in about 2 minutes. And I scarfed it down, and I sat there looking at the people in the restaurant. And it wasn't that they were physically soft. I mean, I'm not some, you know, arrogant, you know, super, you know, sports guy who's, you know, 2% body fat. It's just I looked at their eyes and the self-satisfied way they were eating and the little ticks of the way they were slurping their coffee and the way they were caressing their iPads and the way they were. And I watched the people behind the counter fighting with each other and, you know, having slights and just unhappy. I mean, they're in the lap of luxury. The poorest Americans got it better than 90%+ of people in the world. Did you know that? Our ancestors, no matter what color you are, had to crawl and scratch through the mud and had to fight hyenas and tigers and lions and grizzly bears and cave bears and wolves and polar bears and were bitten and chased by giant hordes, clouds of mosquitoes and had to watch most of their children die. Northern European people, literally every grave they dig up have fractures and cracks in their bones from literally jumping on the backs of animals that they were, you know, killing with their bare hands. Same story in Africa. They just dug up gladiators from 1900 years ago in England, Roman gladiators, you know, because the Romans controlled Albion, Britannia, today, the UK, and these guys have bites all over their bodies from lions and tigers and wolves and bears, some of which have been exported to England, and huge wounds all over them. And of course, in those type of gladiatorial events, they were actually local heroes and were well paid and weren't slaves by that period. But the point is, and you can look at the National Geographic photos of these giant skeletons. Imagine 1900 years ago when the average man was 5'3", the average height of these skeletons is 6'4", 6'5", some are almost 7 feet. I mean, that's who we are, okay, is vicious, powerful, intelligent, hardworking, dynamic people. Not what we've become. Not what we've become. And I'm going to tell you, you look at the elites, you look at Queen Beatrix and the photos London Guardian has of her at Bilderberg, and you look at these other elitists. They're a bunch of crazed-eyed, demonic control freaks who are soft and pathetic as well. Now, I told you I'd give you the big secret of the BP oil spill. We've got a full breakdown coming up in the next hour and a half at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I've worked on it. Steve Watson's the main organizer of the article. So is Paul Watson, has contributed. It's going to boil down every facet, and it's going to be 6-7 pages long. So if you're lazy, I'm talking to new listeners, you won't be able to understand the full scope of why we say evidence mounts that Gulf oil spill is false flag. I believe that's going to be the headline. Okay? If you want to be free, you're going to have to at least read a 7-page article. I'm not being condescending here. I have people call in all the time and send me letters asking me basic questions that I've answered thousands of times. Or asking me to write them a letter back telling them everything. Look, I can't tell you how to eat soup. I can't tell you how to change your diapers, folks. And I'm not trying to be mean here. I like good questions, too. It's just that we're so childlike, they tell us there isn't a world government when it's openly been set up and is unelected and criminal. The games are over, ladies and gentlemen. The world's always been a barbarous, dangerous place. Now it's just got a high-tech overlay, a soft, touchy-feely overlay, which makes it even more deadly. It's a creeping death. But I'll tell you what this oil spill is overall about. It's a political, global distraction from the stock market collapses worldwide and the debt bubble that's out of control. It serves a lot of purposes, and when the globalists do a cost-benefit analysis and decide that a false flag will help them on multi-fronts, they launch it. So I'm going to go over the different ways this helps the New World Order agenda, then I'm going to get into the economy, and it is hardcore news. Basically, it's everything we've talked about on this show for a decade is now on the Wall Street Journal, MSNBC, and CNN, which means you better watch it. We'll be back.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live. Well, after Copenhagen, their big push to get a funding mechanism for world government was in deep trouble. As the Bilderberg Group was quoted as saying last week, we're about whipped. The public knows we're running a giant fraud, a giant scam. And so you have a big oil leak out in the Gulf a month after Obama announced that he was going to allow drilling. Oh, quite a reversal. Then he gives an award to the very oil rig that explodes mysteriously. And then all these top petroleum geologists and others tell them how to fix it. And they never follow any of the advice. And so now they're going to get to try to push their global carbon tax in the name of having money to clean this up. And they're also hyping the oil like it's the end of the world. Yeah, it'll mess up the season in Florida and some areas. Yeah. But oil is biodegradable. I mean, I've been to the beach. I've seen balls of oil that have little crustaceans, little crabs and plants growing out of it. It's actually full of nutrients. Within a year. A different biologist are on record saying that almost all the oil will be consumed. It's biodegradable. What is toxic? They've got the cleanup crews with all these poisonous, heavily refined chemicals dumping it into the oil on the seashores to dissolve it. That's what's killing most of the animals. You know, they show you an oily pelican. It's the government banning all fishing out there. When most areas don't have oil, they could do some spot testing and checking of the seafood. Some of it might be contaminated. They could demand that there be spot checks. But what's causing the economic destruction is that the government for a month has said no fishing in the Gulf of Mexico, in the areas that are affected. And they're blocking the media. We've seen even CBS News with all their power. Armed men in boats pull up and say, we're under orders from Halliburton, local police, and Coast Guard. Since when do they take the orders? Now, I know I haven't talked a lot about the spill in the last 40-plus days. And that's because I've been collating. I've been tracking. I've been researching. I've been constantly thinking about it. Day one, my gut told me it's probably an inside job. But I didn't say that on air. I hoped it wasn't an inside job. It's definitely an inside job in the end of the fact that they're letting it leak and not fixing it and blocking locals from protecting themselves to expand federal control, to expand federal international precedent, to expand corporate governance precedent where BP is in control of the whole operation. And overall, it's a political distraction from what's happening in the economy. And I'm going to cover this more when we start the next hour, as we've got a guest coming up on GMO foods and new studies showing that it's causing massive reductions in fertility and deformities and total sterility within three generations. But look at these headlines. This is what they're trying to distract from. Tax hikes and the 2011 economic collapse, the Wall Street Journal. That's the Wall Street Journal. Tax hikes and the 2011 economic collapse. And government knows when they raise taxes, less money comes into the Treasury because it shuts down the economy. Kennedy cut taxes by 50% in one tax bracket. Dr. Roberts pointed out it was only 35% in one bracket. Oh, I'm sorry. Only 35% cut for one group, but 50% for poorer people, less wealthy. And tax receipts doubled. Of course, California raised a bunch of taxes and their economy completely went into cardiac arrest. Of course, New York passed more taxes and they went into cardiac arrest. Of course, Florida passed more taxes and they went into cardiac arrest. Of course, Michigan passed more taxes. They went into cardiac arrest. They keep calling Rick Perry this big conservative. I'm paying three new taxes as a business owner, as they call me here in Texas, a supposedly tax-friendly state. And yeah, people are fleeing here because we're not raising taxes as fast. That's what the global government's about. Nowhere to run. So, tax hikes and the 2011 economic collapse. They want it to collapse. We have their own documents, just like the Timberwolf documents from Goldman Sachs. Today's corporate profits reflect an income shift in 2010. These profits will tumble next year, preceded most likely by the stock market. And they admit the big bankers and the big money are making record profits, and everybody else is going to hell in a handbasket. Doctors, lawyers, school teachers, cops, firemen, auto mechanics, farmers, ranchers, retail workers, your pay's way, way down, or you've lost your job. Not the bankers, not the filthy scum. They're sucking every drop of blood out of us they can. Here's another one, investment banker. It's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. That's CNBC, up on InfoWars.com. I mean, folks, this isn't Alex Jones saying this, though I've been telling you this for years. It's now mainstream media. We'll be back. Stay with us. All right, I'm going to get more into the oil spill disaster and evidence that it's more and more looks like a false flag. Coming up in the next hour, we'll get into the economy and a lot more. Don't forget, I'm a documentary filmmaker. I've produced over 20 films. I've directed more than 20, produced several others, Loose Change, Final Cut, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. They're all available at InfoWars.com. And I know that you, the audience of this transmission, are extremely informed, extremely well-researched. In many cases, you're more informed than I am in specific areas of specialty that you've done more research into. But your friends, your family, your children, your grandparents, your parents, your neighbor, your employees, your bosses, the folks at your church or your synagogue or your whatever the case may be, they know something's wrong now, but they don't know the specifics. It is so vital to get Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Invisible Empire, New Order Defined, the Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Terror Storm, films and materials that we offer at InfoWars.com and to get them out to people now, and best-selling books like Seeds of Destruction, Exposing Industry and Government Lies About the Safety of Genetically Engineered Foods You're Eating, Jeffrey M. Smith. He's very conservative. He's very careful. He understates it, and the understatement is absolutely devastating. There is no doubt that they know that these GMO foods are causing low birth weight, sterilization, reduced fertility, toxic problems. Seeds of Deception is such an important book. And he has one that's like a textbook. Genetic Roulette, The Documented Health Risk of Genetically Engineered Foods, Jeffrey M. Smith, author of the number one international bestseller, Seeds of Deception. By the way, they're all available at InfoWars.com. com. Immune dysfunction, chronic illness, inflammation, death, 65 health risks, suppressed science and cover-ups, misfortune that the people are going through is just horrible. We need to warn the public. Misinformed Congress and regulators. This film is really my favorite. We've also got some films he's involved with. All available at Infowars.com. And your purchase of the books and videos supports my operation and the authors and filmmakers whose books and videos we carry, like Jesse Ventura's American Conspiracy, number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list, and all the other great suppressed things. They've just republished Fletcher Prouty's The Secret Team, How the Government Really Works. He was the head of Black Ops in the Pentagon, liaison to the CIA. That book's now back in print, available at Infowars.com. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139. You can also write to me, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. But whatever you do, don't procrastinate. Get involved today. Start reaching out to people. They're ready to hear the truth. Jeffrey Smith is the founder of the Institute for Responsible Technology, whose mission is to promote the responsible use of technology and stop genetically engineered foods and crops through grassroots and national strategies. He's an acclaimed international speaker, trusted authority on GMOs, best-selling author, admired filmmaker. Seedsofdeception.com. Seedsofdeception.com is the website. I wanted to get him on because I've literally seen hundreds of studies out of Canada, England, China, Japan, the United States. I've interviewed, you know, former GMO company heads who found that it was, you know, really hurting the guinea pigs and mice and rats. I've talked to other GMO heads who would say, look, this stuff's sterilizing the rats, reducing fertility. They'd say, well, that's not a problem, is it? There's too many people. So the point is, whether you think there's too many people or not, we shouldn't have forced medication going on. And the bigger issue is this is irrevocably altering the DNA of the human species. So in the next 22 minutes, I wanted to get Jeffrey Smith's take on all of this. He would be with us longer, but he's on the road making a film right now. Here's the headline. Research links genetically modified food to long-term sterility. A new study done by Russian scientists suggests that genetically modified food may cause, kind of like jumping in front of a bus going 100 miles an hour, might hurt you. A new study done by Russian scientists suggests that genetically modified food may cause long-term sterility. That is sterility in the second and third generations. The scientists used hamsters for the research and divided them into groups. One group of hamsters was fed normal diet without any soy products. A second group was fed non-GMO, genetically modified organism soy. The third ate GMO soy, and the fourth group was fed an even higher amount of GMO soy than the third. Each group produced about 7 of 8 litters of baby hamsters, each without any problems. But when the research selected new breeding pairs from the offspring, the second generation had a slower growth rate, and a bunch of other studies show that our guest will go over in a moment, and researched their sexual maturity later than normal. They also had a mortality rate 5 times higher. Oh, you like living till 25 instead of 100? That's what we're talking about. That's 100, you know, 5 times lower is 25. They also had a mortality rate 5 times higher than the hamsters did who ate the soy. Even more shocking was the fact that nearly all of the third generation GMO soy hamsters were sterile and also experienced hair growth inside their mouths. There's photos of that. And it goes on. Now here, perfect soft kill weapon. Mercury in the vaccines has been shown within one generation to reduce fertility and damage DNA. Folks, this is real. And we already have massive sperm count lowered levels. We have massive infertility in women. You know about it. You see it in the news. All right, I'm going to shut up for the next 2 segments and go to Jeffrey Smith, author of Genetic Roulette, which is so important to get, folks. Jeffrey, break down this new study by the Russians, and then let's go into some of the other studies we've seen.
Yeah, so they actually, the scientists I spoke with said it was just a routine study. They just simply fed hamsters genetically modified soy in those 4 groups you said, non-GM soy, GM soy, high GM soy, and no soy. And there was no problem in the groups that were eating the normal, natural soy as part of their diet or no soy at all. But those that ate the genetically engineered soy, they didn't actually show the problems in the first generation. The second generation was slower growth, slower onset for maturity, but by the third generation, that's when the boom hit, and that was when nearly all of the adults had lost the ability to have babies. And the infant mortality rate, the rate at which they died at birth or soon after, that was 5 times higher in one of the GM soy groups and 4 times higher in the other compared to the control. So you had both a level of infertility, slower growth, and also a higher death rate among the babies. Now, this man, Alexei Surov, had done some research on hamsters before and found quite a rare situation where hair and mucus would form inside the mouth of the hamsters. That the pictures are so disgusting that when I posted my article in Huffington Post, I didn't put the picture there. I just linked to it in case people wanted to see it because I didn't want to force them. But it's just that, you know, inside the teeth, big gaping holes with hair and mucus growing in there. And this was published in a study by Surov some months before. But what he found out was that the group that was eating the genetically modified soy had a much higher incidence of this rare disorder than he had ever seen in his study, suggesting that there may be some very significant disorders resulting from the genetically engineered soy. Now, I asked him at this point, he released his information as part of a report on April 15th, and I asked him when it would be published, and that would be in the summer. And he was cautious. He said, we don't know if it's the genetically engineered component. We don't know if it's the extra Roundup herbicide on the soy. Let me explain what that means to those who are not familiar with GMOs. The primary reason why people genetically modify crops is so they can drink a poisonous herbicide and not die. And Roundup is the most popular. So you have Roundup-ready soybeans, corn, cotton, canola, and sugar beets that you can spray with a toxic Roundup herbicide, and it will kill all of the other plant biodiversity, but not the Roundup-ready crop. Now, I am learning just this month that the Roundup itself has components in it that might promote sterility. And what happens is, and this is, I'm saying might because I'm still investigating, and even once I've fully investigated, I probably would be cautious on the...
And, of course, this is Monsanto of Agent Orange fame.
Yes, exactly. Monsanto is the one that produces Roundup. They produced, they're one of the producers of Agent Orange, and, of course, PCBs. And they're in charge, by the way, to determine if their GM foods are safe, not the FDA. The FDA's policy claims that it's up to Monsanto and the other biotech companies to determine if their foods are safe. They don't have to tell the FDA before it goes on the market.
And I saw just last month Obama appointed the head regulator at the Food and Drug Administration as the former Monsanto executive.
Yes, exactly. Michael Taylor, he's the U.S. food safety czar in charge of the U.S. food supply. He was the one that was in charge of policy at the FDA when the FDA said no testing was necessary.
Hmm.
And it was based on a policy that claimed that the FDA wasn't aware of information showing that GMOs were different. But documents made public from a lawsuit shows, of course, that that was a lie, because the overwhelming consensus among the FDA's own scientists were that GMOs were not only different but inherently dangerous and could create things like allergens, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. But the person in charge of that policy, Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney and later Monsanto's vice president, I believe, because he put that policy through, is responsible probably for more food-related illnesses and deaths than anyone in human history, and he is in charge of the food safety in the United States.
Amazing. Now, again, this isn't just one prestigious Russian study, though. I mean, again, you have it all in your book, meticulously documented. But I've seen countless studies, not just in rats or mice or hamsters or rabbits that they tend to test on, but that they've done studies showing humans with lower birth rate and a higher mortality, and that it's not just this type of soybean, whether it's the poison or the soybean itself, but separately in other GMO crops that are GMO not for a pesticide-related reason, but for, say, a flavor reason or for a longevity reason. I mean, this is really beginning to become crystal clear in focus.
Well, let's talk first about the animal studies, and then let's take a look for correlation in human studies. We do know, for example, that there are indigenous people in Argentina who've been sprayed by Roundup by plane, and they're complaining of birth defects. And possible there might be sterility there, too, infertility, but I'm not sure. But I think we can look with more confidence at the animal feeding studies. In fact, the most important one, I think, that follows the hamster one, was done 5 years earlier also by someone with the Russian Academy of Sciences. And it was Irina Ermakova, a senior researcher at the Academy, and she just completely innocently fed genetically modified soy flour. It was from Archer Daniels Midland variety, bought in the store, the same kind that we eat here. And she fed it to female rats starting 2 weeks before they got pregnant and continued feeding them through pregnancy and lactation and then started feeding the offspring as part of their diet. What was interesting was that when the babies were born, many of the babies were smaller, quite a bit smaller, when they were from the GM-fed mothers. But most importantly, more than half of them died within 3 weeks. The control group that ate the GM, the non-GM soy, only 1 in 10 died. So it was a five-fold increase in infant mortality. With the hamster study we just discussed, there was a difference of five-fold, and that was 25% versus 5%. Or in another group, 20% versus 5%. So it was four or five times higher with the hamsters, and it was five times higher with the rats. Now, what was interesting with the Ermakova study is, she, of course, was, you know, attacked and vilified by the biotech industry. She published her research as preliminary, asking for more money to do follow-up research, but never got it. In fact, she told me after we spoke at the European Parliament together that her boss had been told by his boss that, you know, under pressure, that she couldn't do any more GM research. So one of her colleagues actually tried to comfort her by saying, well, maybe the GM soy will solve the overpopulation problem on Earth, and she wasn't comforted. But what happened was when she was attacked by the biotech industry, one of the valid issues was that she never did a biochemical analysis of the feed to see if there might be a toxin in the bag of flour. But after she had completed her research three times with similar results, coincidentally, the Russian Academy of Sciences facility where she was working started feeding all of the rats a rat chow based on genetically modified soy, and she had a brilliant idea of simply asking her colleagues after 2 months what was the infant mortality rate in their study. They weren't studying GMOs. They just happened to be feeding all of the rats GM soy. It turns out it had skyrocketed to over 55%. This suggests it's not some obscure toxin that had made its way into her particular batch, but it was more likely a generic problem. In addition, when you go back further, Italian researchers fed genetically modified soy to mice, and they found that the testicles were damaged, the structure and function of the testicles were changed, including the young sperm cell. And when they looked at the offspring in the embryo stage, a very, very young embryo stage, they removed it from the wombs of the pregnant mice, who had been eating genetically modified soy or natural soy. And they found that those that had been eating genetically modified soy, the embryo DNA functioned differently. So Ermakova, this was in Italy, Ermakova back in Moscow, she decided to feed GM soy also to male rats. And she showed me the picture, which I use in my presentation, and the testicles changed from pink to blue. So normally the testicles are pink in male rats, and she showed the controls, and they were pink, but they were blue in those that were fed genetically modified soy.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And now, what is it, 8 major food crops are being genetically engineered, and now they want to go to hundreds?
Oh, that's right, exactly. The goal of Monsanto, the explicit goal, is to genetically engineer 100% of all the commercial seeds in the world and patent them, and they have a plan to achieve it. Now, it doesn't stop with soy. We also have evidence of infertility with corn, and we also have it with the GM cotton. With the corn, the Austrian government fed genetically modified corn that was both Roundup ready and also produced its own toxic pesticide called BT. It was both events in the same gene, in the same DNA. So they found that the more of this corn that they fed to mice, the fewer the babies they had and the smaller the babies were.
And by the way, large portions of the corn and things we now eat in the United States are of these GMO varieties.
Yeah, about 85% of the corn. Now,
so, folks, you're having your family line annihilated right now. You're being you're under assault, and you know, I mean, if you walked up and punched a cop in the face, you'd go to prison. But they feed this to the cops, and the cops just love it. I mean, I'm just pointing out that we're all being assaulted.
So we've seen this also in livestock. I happened to discover a new source that changed his animals to non-GM feed and found that the litters got bigger. I do know of about 24 farmers that claim that certain varieties of GM corn caused their pigs or cows to become sterile. Some pigs had false pregnancies or gave birth to bags of water. And also in India, they discovered that buffalo that were feeding on genetically modified cotton cakes, these are the cotton seed cakes. Now, these are cotton that's genetically engineered to produce its own toxic pesticide. Most of the buffalo that ate the cotton seed cakes got reproductive problems, including prolapsed uteruses, sterility, and abortions and premature delivery.
Jeffrey Smith, stay there. How do they think they're going to get away with this, folks? Well, they think you're dumb. They want population reduction, and they're getting it. No grandchildren for you, folks. We'll be right back.
Man thinks, 'cause he rules the earth, he can do with it as he please.
Tell him, Bob Dylan.
And if things don't change soon, he will.
Yeah, if things don't change soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I have literally read hundreds of studies from prestigious organizations like the International Journal of Biological Sciences, extremely prestigious. Here's the headline. Monsanto GMO corn linked to organ failure study reveals in lab animals. And they test on rabbits and guinea pigs and rats and mice because their metabolic system is very similar to us. Same thing with pigs or monkeys, primates. I mean, this isn't a joke, okay? This isn't a joke. This isn't a game. And most of the food we eat now, when you go to a Mexican food restaurant and eat corn chips, it's frying you. Now, we can say no. We can take control of our society. We can demand real organic food. We can demand the feds don't change the organic descriptions to where it can be non-organic. This is life and death. And I know this stuff, and it's hard for me to not forget what I'm doing. But I've got to take care of my children. I've got to make sure they can have a healthy life and have grandchildren. This is eugenics. Make no mistake. Genetic roulette, the documented health risk of genetically engineered foods. Jeffrey M. Smith, available at Infowars.com and in his international bestseller, Seeds of Deception. You need to get these and get them out to everybody you know. He's going to be with us for one more segment. Continuing, sir, you can go on for hours. What about the study? I was talking to you about that genetic engineer out of England who's just had a stroke, unfortunately, but I've interviewed him years ago, you know, who found similar things in his studies. Talk about that.
Well, this is Dr. Arpad Pusztai, a very interesting case. He is the world's leading researcher in his field and was granted a $3 million by the UK government to create a way to test for the safety of GMOs, which was supposed to be implemented into the EU law. But what happened was he accidentally discovered that GM foods are very dangerous, that his rats, after 10 days, had smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system, and potentially precancerous cell growth in the digestive tract. He went public with his concerns and was a hero for about 2 days at his institute. And then the pro-GM UK Prime Minister's office apparently placed two phone calls to the director of the institute on a Tuesday afternoon. On a Wednesday morning, Dr. Pusztai's contract was canceled, his data was withdrawn, his team was dismantled, they never implemented the protocols. In fact, they told him if he spoke at all about his research, he would be sued. They went through a whole process to try and trash his reputation, to promote the biotechnology industry, and what he had discovered was very interesting. You see, he fed rats a potato that was genetically engineered with a gene that produces an insecticide. But he had tested the insecticide over and over again on rats and knew it was safe. In fact, in his study, he fed some rats the natural potato with spiked with the insecticide and others eating the genetically engineered potato that produced the insecticide from within each cell. But only those that ate the GM potato, the genetically modified potato, got these illnesses and got this sickness.
So it's the way the poison was being delivered.
Exactly. It was the process of creating, it was the process of genetically engineering the potato that caused the problem, and that was what his great concern for him was, because he was aware that the same process was used to create the soy and corn and tomatoes.
And it was eating their livers, folks. You know, you don't drink Jack Daniels because you don't want to die of liver failure. Hell, you eat potatoes and corn, you get it. I mean, this is serious.
Now, in addition to his work, we're finding that the Roundup persists for a long time on the field after it's sprayed. Of course, Monsanto tried to say it was biodegradable, but two courts of law, one here and one in France, demanded and ordered them to remove it from their label.
Well, what about tap water? We know it gets on the water table. Jeffrey, stay there. We're going to have 5 minutes left with you on the other side because you're on the road with your film. Your film's coming out in October. I can't wait to see it. He's an amazing author and filmmaker, Jeffrey M. Smith. I'm Alex Jones.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, coming up, we're going to open the phones on a host of issues and blitz through financial news, military news. It's all coming up, but finishing up with our guest, author of Seeds of Deception, Jeffrey M. Smith. Both books available at Infowars.com. Just hundreds and hundreds of these studies of the sterilization, the reduction in fertility. I saw headlines in the London Guardian this week and last week, Jeffrey, where it was reported that the so-called government watchdogs now in England, the ones investigating GMO, it turns out, are on the GMO payroll, just like the flu vaccine crowd, and are basically lying. So they are beginning to get caught with their hands in the genetic engineering, bioethicist eugenics jar.
Oh, yeah. In fact, some of the independent people on a panel actually resigned because it was another one of those takeovers. I've actually traveled to 32 countries speaking about GMOs, and I see all over the world it's Monsanto's own people that are installed into the positions to approve Monsanto's own products, just like in the U.S. But I want to say it's not all depressing news. You see, in Europe, when Dr. Pusztai was finally able to speak 7 months after he was shut down, all hell broke loose in the media. 750 articles were written in a single month. Within 10 weeks, the tipping point of consumer rejection was achieved, and within a single week, virtually every major food company committed to stop using genetically modified ingredients in their European brands. But that was because the Europeans were then informed by the mainstream media. In the U.S., it was described as one of the 10 most underreported events of the year by Project Censor.
Just like Fox wasn't allowed to report on the genetically, you know, engineered growth hormone.
Exactly. They were silenced with two threats from Monsanto's attorney promising, quote, dire consequences, unquote, to Fox TV and Rupert Murdoch. So what happened is, in the United States, the same companies that remove GM ingredients from Europe and from Japan still sell it to us here. All we need is about 5% of U.S. shoppers to start avoiding brands that contain GM ingredients. It'll turn these things into a pure marketing liability with zero consumer benefits, and we will see a tipping point. Now, the good news is it's already happening. The fastest growing claim among store brands in 2009 was GMO-free. Supermarket News, a big journal that predicts supermarket trends and food trends, predicted that this year would show an unprecedented upsurge of consumer awareness and concern about GMOs. October happens to be non-GMO month. 10-10-10 is non-GMO day. And the sales of our non-GMO shopping guide and the views on our site at non-GMOshoppingguide.com, which help people maneuver around the GM ingredients to buy the non-GM brands, they're skyrocketing. So what's happening right now, and I've been traveling all over the United States for 7 years, I travel about 165 days a year, I'm seeing an unprecedented upsurge of activism, but not just energy, but intelligence. A lot of people who realize the details now, they're quoting back to me things that I said years ago. They're expanding on it. They're reading about it. And so right now we have the perfect opportunity to create a tipping point. And so on our website at responsibletechnology.org, which is our nonprofit Institute for Responsible Technology, we have a campaign for healthier eating in America. We have a link to our shopping guide. We have free videos online, free podcasts, a free newsletter that you can sign up for to get it once.
Well, that's another great point. They're talking about health care costs off the charts. Meanwhile, on record, the GMO food we're eating is frying our livers, frying our kidneys. I mean, we've got the studies right here, just devastating people.
You know, I'm talking to some patients this week who, when they got off of GMOs, their symptoms disappeared very, very quickly. I mean, it's remarkable. And the old, I just you asked me earlier about the human studies, and unfortunately, there's only one published human feeding study, and they found that the genes inserted into soybeans can transfer into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continue to function long after we stop eating the GMO. So it's not good news, but the UK government just stopped any follow-up, so we don't know really how dangerous or prevalent it is.
All right. Well, Jeffrey Smith, we really appreciate you coming on with us. We look forward to speaking to you again in the future. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Alex.
This is Life and Death Information. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
If you just joined us, I had Jeffrey M. Smith on. And when I read his book, Seeds of Deception, I just recently reread it. Read it 2 years ago when it first came out. International number one bestseller. Or Genetic Roulette, the documented health risk of genetically engineered foods. What's so angering, that's a word, what enrages me is that when I'm reading it, I've already read all these studies separately over the years. So I know how real it is. And he has big indexes and links to the studies and mainstream media reports. They know that it's sterilizing people. And he was talking about one genetic engineer, you know, doing the studies, and they said, this is sterilizing all these mammals. And they said, yes, there's too many people. I mean, that's what this is all about, folks. It's on record. That's what Bill Gates was at Bilderberg about. And by the way, this doesn't just fry your testicles or your ovaries or your uterus. It, within months of feeding it to rats and guinea pigs, the liver begins to fail. You're eating this right now. I've looked at the studies. People are eating the same amount of sugar they ate 20 years ago. Why is there an almost 3,000% increase in diabetes? People were drinking more liquor, smoking more cigarettes, eating more white flour 50 years ago than they are now. And I saw a report that lung cancer in women is up sixfold what it was a decade ago. Sixfold! And they're not even smoking like they were. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being savaged by the globalists. This is real. How am I supposed to just sit up here and calmly talk about this stuff? That's why I'm not happy when I have personal success. In fact, it's almost frustrating. I want to have success against these people. I want to be able to go to the grocery store and buy stuff for my children without having to read all the labels that won't destroy their fertility and attack their entire blood system, their nervous system, and their organs, and their endocrine system, their hormones. They are tailoring the genetic engineering. Yesterday I was doing research for the film I'm working on, and I saw a Reuters article as well as a scientist article and several others about genetic watermarking. Remember the 1984 movie Blade Runner? When he's the detective and he brings a scale he finds in a bathtub at the house where the genetic engineered drones are living or had been living, and he brings it down to Chinatown where they've got the local genetic engineer shops, and he brings it and he says, is this a fish scale? And she goes, snake scale, highest quality, Ching Cho made this, he make your snake. And she zooms in with an electron microscope, and there is the barcode numbers on the at the cellular level. They can now put barcodes on the DNA strands. And of course they made that movie 25 years ago, 26 years ago, based on a Philip K. Dick book, A True Genius, PKD. I'm truly honored to be in a movie of Scanner Darkly, a remake of a PKD book, or a film adaptation, I should say, not a remake, the first one. And it turns out, Rob Jacobson, doing research, pointed this out to me. So last night I did some more search and found out They were barcoding DNA 30 years ago. See, folks, they just now tell you they're barcoding DNA. They were doing it 30 years ago. You know, they just now, a month ago, launched a secret black ops space plane telling you it's their first one when they've had the things in service since the 60s at least. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore, boys and girls. They got barcodes 25 years ago on fish scales. That wasn't science fiction, folks. There's clear evidence the Nazis, and I have the government reports, did produce primitive A-bombs, but didn't know how to properly deploy them with Wernher von Braun and their V1, V6s, and others. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they were. We know the Nazis were cloning rabbits. We don't have proof they were cloning humans, but they can clone humans now. Argentina is one of the places they've been caught doing it, and Costa Rica. They call it genetic engineering tourism. You're not in Kansas anymore. There's a reason the elite don't care about you and are arrogant. They've got bioweapons that will kill people from a certain clan and a certain tribe, right down to the village. They've got genetic engineer bioweapons that will kill individuals, that will kill mixed individuals. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore. Now, I'm going to tell the FBI listening. I'm going to tell the NSA listening. I'm going to tell the CIA listening. You are compartmentalized, and you know it. Did you get a memo not to eat the four new varieties of Monsanto corn in every major study, hurting the honeybees and hurting all the mammals that eat it, attacking the organs? The studies are out there. Did you get a memo that sodium fluoride attacks every endocrine-producing gland and your testicles and your uterus and your ovaries and your brain? On record, they've known it for 80-plus years. I've got University of Texas studies from the 30s about how it's a toxic sedative and should they put it in the water. The town where I live, they knew in 1933 and 34. Did you get a memo? Well, you like your gun belt. You like your gun holster hanging on the wall, and it impresses the girls when you have them over. And you like the adrenaline rush of kicking people's doors in. And, you know, they're a drug-dealing degenerates, and there's 20 grand in cash, so you take 10. And you think you're real tough, and you think you got it all figured out, and you've been trained to hate the public. Hey, pal, you're being hit with chemical and biological weapons every day in your food, in your water, and in your air. You are already with us. You understand that? You're already with Alex Jones. If you're dumb enough to sit there and believe that you're not with us and that somehow you're part of the power elite or that Alex Jones, he's a wacky dude. Now, there's a reason that the Washington Post today called me the extremely influential talk show host and said that the Republican Party doesn't like to admit how influential I am. But the spin is I'm influential and I'm a right winger. What does right wing have to do with wanting hundreds of chemical poisons out of the water supply that I've got to avoid like the Black Plague? And I got to go through a lot of trouble to avoid. Not just not drinking it, but bathing in it, showering in it, spraying on my lawn, everywhere. What I cover transcends the term right wing by a trillion percentage points. Not 110%, by a trillion points. What does any of this matter? You think I care when I walk in a grocery store if I've got a little bit of a pot belly and that people are looking at me? You think I even care when really good-looking, beautiful women come on to me in the street? No, I don't even care. Not that I see their beauty. I like them. I'm attracted to them. But I've got a wife and children. I owe allegiance to them. And I'm not even worried about rolling around in the hay with some woman in a hotel room, folks. I'm worried and angry at myself that I can't articulate to you how hardcore serious. You think I'm on an ego trip that Michael Savage plugged me yesterday? You think I'm on an ego trip that Drudge has linked to four of our stories in the last week? You think I'm in an ego trip that I can, that George Humphrey's been in India and Japan and South America, and people come up and say, I saw you and fall the Republic? No, I'm not on an ego trip. I flip out. I freak out. I think every night, my God, I've got tens of millions of people listening to what I have to say in the aggregate. I better do a good job. I've got a real shot at mobilizing the population to defeat these people. You think this is a game, ladies and gentlemen? All of you little egomaniacs that are jealous of me, that pose as patriots, that attack me and lie about me and produce new lies every day, you think I care what you say about me? I don't care if the New World Order kills me by not caring. I don't want to die. I want to continue my work, but that's it. That's the only reason I don't want to die. I love life. I love it with an incredible passion, but this information is so important. What man, as a warrior, with a warrior instinct to defend humanity, that's what a man's all about, would not throw themselves against us with everything they've got? Folks, you better get your priorities straight, okay? You are being chemically and biologically murdered slowly. Within another generation, because we're already one generation into this, so within another two generations, most of us are going to be retarded, deformed, and infertile. You're like, well, I'm having fun. I don't care. Your whole humanity is the species and your fellow humans and building a better civilization. You know, the globalists have turned you into these monsters. They've turned you into these soft, pathetic worms. And then they say it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, look, they're worms. They deserve to die. Well, let me tell you, those worms I saw at Bilderberg, the photos I've seen of them, those are the real worms. The jealous, petulant, wicked people on power trips, so divorced from the species and humanity that they get off. They get off on all the stillbirths and all the infertility. The U.S. has the highest level of infant mortality. I mean, that's an official number for the last decade. It's the GMO food. It's the poison. I mean, I don't think that's funny. Mothers crying in their afterbirth with dead babies. Okay? I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of people, little kids dying of liver failure all around me and people dying at 25 all around me of cancer. I don't want any part of what you're doing. I don't want any part of your New World Order. I am not part of you. You understand that? I am divorced from your mind control. I am separated from all of your evil and all of your worldly crap. Do you understand that? I am not part of you, Babylon. I am 110% outside of your evil. Do you understand that? Do you read me?
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance at bliss, another kiss,
Major studies, organ failure in every major mammal species that's fed one particular variety of GMO corn, that is the most popular plant in the U.S. right now, and they have past studies of every other variant of the super stacked corn, that where they stack 5, 6, 7, 8 different genetic traits into it, and it just so happens to, fry your liver, kill honeybees, make the hamster's testicles shrivel up and basically fall off, but, that's no problem. That's no problem. Let's just feed it to our kids. And let's not listen to that Alex Jones. And let's not listen to him, up on the radio. No, no. Let's not listen to him a decade ago telling you the CIA was shipping in the cocaine and heroin. Because in 1996 I watched CIA hearings in Congress where they admitted it all. They admit it. It's always been hidden in plain view. The inspector general, kind of like they go on Fox News and go, well, the Marines don't like it, but here's the commanding colonel. They do help grow the opium. Explain why. Well, if we don't, Al-Qaeda will get the opium and make money. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, we grow it. We ship it out to you. Of course, there's no discussion about who's getting the money from it. But we got to put your kids in prison if they're dumb enough to get caught using heroin, because we got to keep it illegal to keep the price up so all these big bankers can live in $50 million houses and laugh at you. And the bankers all think they own the planet. Remember Bilderberg last week at the London Guardian? London Guardian reporter heard Bilderberg heads of security talking about yours truly and how we bullhorned them and saying, oh, it's so terrible that we have this welfare state that they even have money to come here. People were confused by that. They said over and over again, in the comments of the London Guardian and on YouTube about it, they were saying, well, why are they saying Alex is on welfare? We're not on welfare. Well, what does that mean? No. It's their economy in their eyes. It's their world. It's their water. It's their food. It's their money. Because you're dumb enough to go along with it. You're too lazy in their eyes to stop eating the GMO corn, to stop eating the GMO maize, to stop eating the GMO soybeans. You're not going to stop. You're not going to stop drinking the fluoride water. You're not going to go down to the city council, according to them. Because they're just going to sit there and smile at you in a patronizing way while this mayor drinks a Diet Coke frying their brain. And everybody's just going to go head over heels right into Hades. And they see it as their world. They see it that if you're even able to have a job and be able to, you know, that's what Bill Joy talked about in the April issue of 2000, Wired Magazine. Bill Joy, co-owner of Sun Microsystems, holding 3 engineering degrees and with 175 IQ. What did he say? He said, recently I went to an elitist high-tech conference with 200 of the leaders and owners of the technology system worldwide, and all they talked about was, do we kill everyone? I mean, here he is. He's somewhat of a moral person, and he says, I went to this meeting, and the only discussion was, do we kill everyone? Now, I happened to see on Charlie Rose, a few years before that, the co-owner of it, and he was not a friendly fellow, and he was saying, they said, what do you look forward most to in the new millennium coming up in a few years? This is like in 98. And he says, I look forward to everyone having an implantable chip. He had an American accent, but it was an Atlantic accent. It was almost British. I look forward to the time when everyone has a chip, and my son has a chip, and I track everywhere he goes, and we're all safe. I look forward to a world government. And Charlie Rose was like, oh, it's their world and you ain't in it. What did George Carlin say? It's a big club and you ain't in it? Because America's owners, they own you. And they're dumbing you down. And that's why nobody's ever going to get smart with public education. Because it's designed to turn you into a moron that only cares about the latest sneakers and how to strut around and act cool while you're being murdered with chemical and biological weapons. I mean, does it matter having a big jet boat with red flames on it driving around acting cool? I mean, what does mating even matter when you don't even have a future? What does any of this mean? Everything's about mating. Big houses, money, power, looks, it's all about at a low level, at a primitive 16-year-old level. Once you get a chief mindset, a true guardian mindset, you understand it's about protecting the species, moving the species forward, and uplifting humanity. The globalists don't believe you can be uplifted. They want to kill you deader than a hammer. Well, I've looked at these elitists, and let me tell you, they're not uplifted, okay? Henry Kissinger and Queen Beatrix and David Rockefeller and Lord Rothschild, they aren't uplifted. They're a bunch, I've studied them, they're a bunch of lazy, inbred, murderous control freaks. And you know what? I'm here raising the alarm for my species, humanity, to rise up against these people and defeat them. Now, are they going to be right? Are you lazy and stupid? Or are you going to defeat these people? Huh? I'm asking you. Here's what I'm going to do, because I've been ranting for an hour and a half. Well, we had a guest on, too. So I'm going to open the phones up. You can talk about the BP oil spill and what you think's behind that. Looking more and more like an inside job. Got a big report in the next hour or sooner going up on PrisonPlanet.com that details the full spectrum of why all the evidence points towards a false flag in the Gulf. And we've got investment banker. It's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. That's CNBC. We're going to play that clip. Tax hikes in 2011, economic collapse. Today's corporate profits reflect an increased shift into 2010. These profits will tumble next year, preceding most likely by stock market crash. Now, that's the Wall Street Journal, boys and girls. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv, by the way, in the next hour. But I do want to open the phones up, and I'm going to try to take them and just get your comment, move to the next person, because it is interesting to take calls. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And we will get you up and on the air. But please call in on a telephone that's got good audio. And if you are in a coma, or if you're smoking a hashish pipe, or you're hitting yourself on the hammer, please don't call. 1-800-259-9231. Because I'm in an irritable mood today. I've been going to bed about 10 and 11 at night. I hadn't done this in years. I'm trying to be healthier. I've been jogging twice a day. Really trying to get in shape, not screwing around. So I've been going to bed about 10 or 11. And last night I did Coast to Coast AM and was off at 1 and couldn't go to sleep till about 3. And then my kids woke me up about 6:30. And I feel fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just a little irritable. Just a little irritable right now. Seriously, I want to talk to everybody. 1-800-259-9231. And when I start the next hour, I'm going to blitz through a ton of news on the economy, the oil spill, Iran sanctions. I've got huge stacks of news here, and I'm going to cover it. Oh, yes. But right now, let's go ahead and, again, give that number out to everybody. I'm looking at my IM here. John, are you getting that IM information I'm sending you? Good. You know, I'm down here in Austin, Texas, and I've got a whole crew here and my own phone system and everything, but the satellite uplinks are in Minnesota. And I could run the show on my own and syndicate it on my own, but I just love John Harmon, who's been with me for about 5-6 years, so much that he runs things up there from Houston. Of course, he's not actually in South Texas at Houston. It's an analogy, a parallel to the NASA program. I'm up here floating around in outer space, and then John's there at the spiritual Houston of the Genesis Network in Minneapolis, Minnesota. John, did you say on air you love me too? Oh, good old John Harmon. John Harmon. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, again, it's very hard to every day read a new major study where you start feeding GMO crops to rats, to monkeys, to apes, to guinea pigs, and it just absolutely slaughters them. I mean, their organs start shutting down everywhere. The infertility takes over, and the adults are screwed up. Their offspring are just absolutely irrevocably fried, and then their offspring are just unrecognizable monsters. Oh, thank you, New World Order. That's really friendly of you. Well, what a nice group of people. Again, eugenics is everything. I don't want to talk about the oil spill. I mean, yeah, it's bad. It's screwing up things for people in the Gulf. But if the government wasn't using more toxic chemicals to disperse the oil that are hundreds of times more toxic than the oil that's biodegradable, this wouldn't be happening. They'd have set the oil well on fire day one. It'd just be dissipating. But you can't have carbon dioxide. It's so deadly. What do you think forest fires or volcanoes put off? Now they want to nuke it. In fact, before we go to calls, let me play this nuke clip. This is a clip from Fox News. And about a week ago, they started talking about using nukes. Yes, let's detonate a nuke on the ocean floor that will radiate the food we're going to be eating. See, when you detonate a nuke down low, below the ground or at ground level, it then combines with metals and other isotopes and creates extremely radioactive variants. You can go look into the science yourself if you'd like, but you know, that's why a dirty bomb nuke, they would jacket it, say, with cobalt, and then it makes it a dirty bomb where the radiation is many, many times more deadly than, say, a clean, so-called clean airburst at, say, 2,000 feet of a 50-megaton hydrogen weapon coming in from orbit after it's dislodged from its MIRV coupler. So they want to detonate a nuke down there, which could open up a giant oil fissure and make it even worse. And they use some Russian film example from the 60s where they destroyed a gas well that had been burning for a year. This isn't some gas well pluming and burning at the surface, which is not a problem, putting off carbon dioxide that plants breathe greedily, snapping it all up. part of the life cycle on this planet. This is oil and gas going into the Gulf of Mexico. So here's that Fox News clip.
Is this the solution to the BP oil leak?
That's a great idea.
That's right. Nuke it. Some scientists do advocate this. The Soviets apparently succeeded in doing it. Here is the video they say actually shows it. And now Summit Forbes agree, nuke it. Hi, everybody. I'm David Asman. Welcome to Forbes on Fox. Here today, we have Mr. Steve Forbes, who, as you can see, had to wrestle Quentin Hardy for that seat in San Francisco. Rich Karlgaard, Lizzie McDonald, Neil Weinberg, and Stefan Fitch. So, Rich, I got to say, I'm a skeptic here, but nuke it?
Well, David, this is the kind of option you really have to put on the table. Why? The leak has been going for almost 7 weeks. 500,000 gallons of oil a day. Tar balls are showing up on the coast of Florida. The only surefire option to stop this is a relief well, which is 10 weeks away.
That's enough.
August hurricane.
That's
season.
Enough of these idiots. I mean, give me a break. And what is this new Vanity Fair thing Fox has got where like celebrities sponsor their own shows? Boy, I met Steve Forbes at a Republican function in Dallas once that I was up there taking photographs for in college. And I mean, tell you, what a fruit box. I mean, what a fruitcake. This is who rules us, is these type of mad scientist nerds. And the mad scientist nerds that are jacking with your food and messing with the atmosphere, geoengineering, they want to set a nuke off in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Look at how the Pacific Islanders did at Bikini. Most of them died within 5 years of having that hydrogen bomb detonated 10 miles from them. Yeah, let's don't do it and say we did, okay? And they're running around, oh, look, some tar balls. It's the end of the world, you know, hyping it. And look at tar balls. And it's bad for the fisheries, and it's bad. But there's microbes in the ocean that are going to eat that oil naturally occurring. There's natural oil plumes when they have earthquakes sometimes that have started up. What do you think the La Brea tar pits are in Los Angeles? It's natural. It's not a good thing. And I'll tell you again, I've read on the news the acid chemicals they're using to disperse the oil are horrible compared to the oil itself. So, look, I'm done ranting. I said I'd take your calls. It's just... They're trying to normalize the use of nukes. You know, they call them, oh, we've got mini nukes now that are no big deal that we're going to use against Iran. You know, they just destroy a 4 or 5 square mile area and penetrate down about 400 feet to destroy some of the deepest bunkers. Well, yeah, but anyone who's researched nuclear weapons, even a cursory research, knows that nuclear weapons that hit the ground throw up a bunch of radioactive dust and clouds and combine to create deadly isotopes with all the surrounding metal. So you nuke a nuke base full of uranium and plutonium just when they use DU. That is nothing compared, you know, to souped up plutonium and uranium. Radiation detectors all over the world pick it up. You like breathing it? The globalists have a death wish, ladies and gentlemen. They're a bunch of psychopathic lunatics. But I hear the good old boys. You know, to be an American man, you hand over everything to the bankers, you bend over to the IRS, you sell out your property rights, but you talk about nuking Arabs and saying parking lot. I hear parking lot. Again, I think my head's going to explode. Hey, y'all just nuke all them people. Oh, it's not fair to do Southern accents. I am a Southern / Texan, kind of the gateway to the West. Some people say Texans really aren't Southerners. I think we're both, but proud of my Southern heritage, but I do have to hear that from time to time. But I have heard, you know, the good old Yankees. I tell you what we need to do, Rush. We need to just nuke the entire region. That's the way we handles it. Okay, there. Now we've been fair. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Texas. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, during World War II, we had a lot of oil tankers that were sunk off the coast, and all that oil washed back up onto shore, and we pretty much rebounded from that, didn't we?
Oh, they've had oil leaks in Saudi Arabia in the Gulf. The last time I checked, it's grown since that are 10 times or more bigger than this. They had one 3 years ago in the Gulf off Mexico that was as big as this, and you never heard about it. No, this is just a bunch of hype. And then the terror attack is the government shutting down the fishing now in the entire Gulf. That is the terror attack. That is the event.
I wonder, though, if we have a big hurricane in the Gulf, if it picks up all that contaminated water, and especially with all that the dispersant in there, and takes it in, dumps it into our lakes and freshwater marshes and stuff, I wonder what the effect that's going to be.
Well, the hydrologist and the meteorologist in the last 2 weeks have got detailed satellite map overlays of the currents that are very well mapped by the buoys, and they know exactly where that oil's going. Most of it is not going to hit land. Thank God it was far enough out. Until it hits Europe, sorry, folks, and then the Arctic, but it's going to go out around Florida, out then up the eastern seaboard, but most of it doesn't get but about 100 miles offshore. So because it is farther out in those major currents, which they have mapped, I mean, you know, these things are very predictable, that most of this is going to be dispersed into the larger Atlantic. But, yeah, if it's still going during the hurricane season, that's going to be a different ball of wax. Because if you've ever been out there fishing or on a cruise, and I have been in the early summer, the Gulf and Caribbean are sometimes like glass. It's like Valhalla you can even see whales out there, sperm whales, other types of whales that go into the Gulf and into the Caribbean. You can see the flying fish everywhere. But as soon as those hurricanes get going in August, it turns into, first cruise I took, and only taking like four of them, was for Katrina. People noticed that I wasn't there the 4 days before Katrina. I took a, you know, three hour tour, but it was a 4 day, no, 5 day cruise on a Carnival, you know, cheap cruise. And I went, and I had my two little kids with me, and then the hurricane had just formed. They were like, oh, don't worry, it's over here in the eastern Caribbean. They were about to go into Mexico and dock. They were so scared, but they decided to race it. So they raced it, and it was 6 hours behind me on that Sunday as we docked in Galveston, and they had all the decks closed, and it was 30-foot waves, and waves were breaking windows, and there was alarms going off, and people were vomiting everywhere. Never told that story there. But, yes, if that kind of stuff is going on, then, yes, I've been in a cruise ship in Katrina. It was actually an adventure. But anything else, sir?
Yeah, I lived in Houston. I moved to Houston in 1981 from Michigan, and I've been through a number of hurricanes and a tropic storm Allison that flooded, that turned all of Houston into a lake. And so I know that when the hurricanes form out there, they pick up all that water and they bring it in. So I was just wondering.
Absolutely. Right now, it's going to be dispersed in the Atlantic, and there'll be a tar ball here, a little bit of oil there. Part of it did plume out into Louisiana, but then turned back again, most of it. Poor Louisiana keeps getting the brunt. But no, when the hurricanes hit, it's going to be hell. I appreciate your call, John. Good points. Jonathan in Kansas, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. It's probably a good idea to get pen and paper because I have six good articles for you.
Somebody keeps stealing my pens. Probably a guy named Alex Jones, but will somebody bring me a pen, please? Yeah, go ahead.
Right. There's three articles on social engineering I have for you and three articles on eugenics. All right. You have a pen yet?
Yeah, you can also email them to show tips, but go ahead.
Okay. One is MSNBC, today's college kids lack empathy. Compared to 30 years ago, it's all about me now, study fines. That's one. Another one.
Oh, my gosh. I literally, you can tell body language once you're tuned in and intelligent and, you know, have discernment. And literally the average person now sits there at a restaurant in a personal, mindless, delusional power trip. And they all look hatefully at everybody else. And, and these will be the stormtrooper enforcers. This was done scientifically. The headline is college students lack empathy.
Yeah. Today's college kids lack empathy.
I want it. Go ahead.
Okay. The second one is examiner.com, serial killers and politicians share traits.
I knew that. And another one. What's that from again?
Examiner.com, serial killers and politicians share traits.
Well, yeah, people wonder why cops are getting so brutal and crazy. They're pulled from the general public. Large portions of the public. Well, here's a microcosm example and you can finish up. Every day or two, we hear about some woman beaten with a lead pipe on the side of a major road, or the case of a few months ago of a guy in Northern California on the side of the highway. Hundreds of cars passed as he beat a toddler to death over an hour, and the cops had to show up in a helicopter and land, and then they shot the guy. Thank God he deserved it, because the police ran up as he was bashing the child's brains in. The kid had already been dead. He was just having a psychopathic enjoyment. But the issue is, you read about, I told the story of the woman choking, and no one would help her, but they fought to keep me from helping her. They love weakness. They love being scum. They love being cowards. They love being filth. They love being slaves. And the New World Order loves killing them. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, another one is toddlers who lie will do better. That's BBC News.
I saw that.
The study. Huh?
Toddlers who lie will do better, yes.
Yeah, you already know about that? Okay.
Which is a lie, which is another lie. They're telling you lying gets you ahead, nuking is good. I saw an article in CNN. Most people wouldn't know how to decipher it. It's so obvious. Darth Vader has psychological problems, and it goes, you'll be powerful at the end of the article. Before I read it, I knew what it would say. They're going to now use Darth Vader as a poster child of mental illness to teach people it's cool to be mentally ill and take drugs like Prozac. No, Darth Vader, the fictional character, was on an evil power trip and didn't see people as humans. And that's not something that the priest class can treat with a drug. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What else do we have?
Okay. Bloomberg Business Week. Immune system troubles could spark behavior woes. And they said that if they tweak your immune system, you might have less disruptive behavior like compulsive disorders.
Hey, good points, Jonathan. Send us the articles. Chris, May, Dave, Ted, stay with us. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Big News Blitz coming up on the economy and a lot more.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yeah, people are getting lazier and lazier. Mainly because they never worked on a farm, never worked in a machine shop, never found out how much fun it is to actually do work. They just sit and watch television. They're not humans. They've lost their humanity. And they just respond to stimuli, and so they're getting more and more bestial. They just want money. They want sex. They want to feed their petty instincts. And then they're totally unfulfilled. Folks, the big secret is you're not fulfilled. I'm here to tell you, in high school and a little bit in college, I was pretty wild. And I was like, man, I'm dating all these beautiful women. I mean, sometimes I was dating four or five different girls a week. I was, drinking, hanging out with the coolest people. And I was like, this is unfulfilling. But I was fulfilled when I was reading history and studying politics. It was like the instinct was get involved, be part of the human race, build things. I was fulfilled when I would paint a oil painting. I feel good when I finish a powerful film. I feel fulfilled. I felt good when I help an old lady, open a door for her. I feel good when I gave that lady the Heimlich maneuver. Quite frankly, it felt good when I was a teenager and some bullies started a fight with me and I'd beat the living daylights out of them. It feels good just to be a human and to be strong and not be so cowardly. And again, I'm not up here on some high horse saying how great I am, but more and more I realize it's that the public has been engineered and turned into these pathetic slugs who think they're pathetic, but at the same time have like a power trip attitude. It's really weird. I know you've noticed it. I know you've seen it. And, I may seem like a bull in a china closet mad dog to some people because I'm just alive, ladies and gentlemen, and I can't imagine people who aren't alive. Now I totally get people that want to join the military and people that want to rock climb and people that want to do dangerous things or people that want to be industrial divers because I've met a lot of those people and I realize that they're just like me and they're like, look, I want to go out and risk my life. I want to be in danger. I want to carry a 70-pound pack for 50 miles because I want to be tested. I don't want to be like the rest of these people. Even if it's an evil military, they still want to be part of something dangerous because it's better to be out there involved in something dangerous than to be a soulless jellyfish. I'm beginning to really understand things more and more. And I see this in front of me. All about me, college kids lack empathy. compared to 30 years ago. It's all about me now, study finds. Well, don't you understand that that's a hellish system when everybody only cares about themselves? Then nobody cares about you. I mean, look at us. We don't take care of our grandparents or our parents anymore, most people. I do. My family does. But we don't do even as good a job as we could have. I should have visited my grandfather more after two heart attacks and a stroke. You know, he was at the nursing home and I only saw him like once a month. I should have gone to see him every week. But my uncle, you know, moved to be close to him for that period and visit him every day. The average person just wants to stick their poor old dad or mom, their pop, their mom in there. Don't even take care of them. Well, who's going to take care of you? What does that say about you? You don't want to hang around with your family? You don't want to be with your family? That's the only people I want to be around. And it's not because I even particularly like my family sometimes. It's because that's what I'm supposed to do as a human. You understand that? I'm a human. You understand? I'm not great looking. I'm not even that smart. I'm not proud of myself. I'm a man, though. You understand that? I'm a human being. People declare war on me. I declare war on them. You understand that? That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. That's who we are. And if you know, these delusional jellyfish people who now people the planet, they like giggle and laugh at threats. They think it's funny. They think their warped weakness somehow controls reality, and it doesn't. And I'm telling you, all you weak slobs are ripe for the slaughter, ripe to be butchered, and the New World Order is going to hang you up by your hind legs.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
What's the Bible say? You were neither hot nor cold, so I spit you out of my mouth. And I look at the jellyfish that the New World Order has created. Once human, now just mindless drones that respond to television. And they are lukewarm jellyfish, like leaves that blow where the wind takes them. Not me. Not me. It is such a simple, fundamental shift, ladies and gentlemen, towards liberty and towards humanity and towards the animating spirit of our Savior that has created this universe, and you will be free, free of the fear, free of the weakness. The New World Order entices you. It makes you feel weak. It makes you feel incompetent. It tells you it can sell you the answers when it sells you death. All right, I said I'd go to your calls. Chris, May, Dave, Ted, others. Chris in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Mr. Jones. My name's Chris. I'm 32, and I've been waking up since I was 16, so we've been on similar path for a similar amount of time, and in that time I wish I could have found a way to discredit you, but I can't. And I discovered you when I was learning about peak oil, and I thank you for exposing that. But I have an idea. Your last comments were a great segue into this point. I have an idea a la the thousand cuts method of warfare for your listeners to fight back against this tyranny. And it's based on the fail video meme that's popular now on YouTube. These videos, they're fail videos. They're just silly things that show people failing. But I think that the greatest failure that we see right now is federal government, the media. And
yeah, we can create fail videos, you know, showing globalists and then saying, didn't get their carbon tax, fail. Yeah.
That's my challenge to your listeners, is to not wait for you to have a contest, but to start immediately those people who are adept at making YouTube videos to start infiltrating the, co-opting the fail video movement.
Well, you know why the fail video movement's so popular? People like to see someone they think that has more wealth or power than them failing, when I'm the opposite. I want to see people who have talent and beauty and understanding. I just love to see them and love to see their success. But what I don't like is people using corruption to control and hurt innocent people. I don't want to see those people fail. I want to see them destroyed.
Exactly right, sir. And essentially, they're bullies. And one thing a bully can't stand is to be laughed at or mocked. So to expose them, and I have an example here. It's 30 seconds of what one of these videos might look like, if I may.
Go ahead.
Okay, this would be like the text on the screen. On March 30th, I'm not sure on the date, On March 30th, the media terrorized the nation by announcing that America was nearly attacked by an armed militia intent on taking over the government, and the FBI stopped them just in time, saving us all. On March 31st, it was revealed that the nine members of the Houthari militia,
were released, and it was all fake, and the government did it to try to sell propaganda. They fail. And when Chris Matthews does his hit piece on Rand Paul and myself next week, this big national special, we have to point out that Rand Paul's poll numbers actually went up after the last hit piece. They fail. And yes, it's important to show how the enemy is failing on every front. Yes, that is important.
Right. And then on 5-3 of 2010, U.S. District Judge ordered that the Houthari be released due to insufficient evidence. So for blatantly staging an attack, playing the victim and getting caught red-handed, failing to find a group who we could believe was a real threat or at least had more teeth than toes, and using the event as an excuse to attack gun owners and further violate their oath to the Constitution and Bill of Rights, federal government equals epic fail.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you. Absolutely. I mean, when we post people's videos on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and try to really get them going and promoted, and I see so many new one-hour, two-hour documentaries being posted on YouTube and other websites that are really good. And that's a good feeling. If they set me up or kill me next week, I've already blown the hell out of the enemy. And we've taught everybody how to fight back. We've all done it together, and we're just going to get better. And so they're trying to move to shut the web down right now, but they'll fail at that.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are going to continue with your phone calls here. And I'm going to get into the economy and a more intensive news blitz on other facets. Paul Watson did the fourth hour yesterday. He'll be doing it again today. We're just building him up so he can, in the future, do a full four-hour broadcast. We're putting him through his paces right now to be a fill-in host for us, and he did a great job yesterday, really held the web numbers good, and so that's a gauge of the audience. Of course, I put on air what I like, and I like the breakdowns that Watson provides, so he'll be with us in the last hour with huge breaking news on the oil well, putting it all together in perspective and where this is going. Before I get to the economy, though, let's finish up with a few calls here. May in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, I'm calling from Panama City, and we don't have the oil yet, but it's starting to come through the pass, I understand. I want you to hear about a company called Nalco. It is the maker of the dispersant that BP is using. It is toxic. It is banned in Europe. It is. It has tentacles. It has Warren Buffett, Maurice Strong, Al Gore, Soros, Apollo, Blackstone.
No, I had seen that it's tied into the bigger chemical companies, and it's super toxic compared to crude oil that is biodegradable. I mean, it's not great, but crude oil compared to chemicals that they're dumping into it is, and that's why all the workers are getting sick that are out there being ordered to put this dispersant into the oil.
Ordered not to speak when they're sick, too. And there is a better one, but it's not manufactured by Nalco. It's called Dispersant. It's less toxic. It can be manufactured at 60,000 gallons a day, and they don't want to know about it. And
well, what about the bacteria? The spin by mainstream news is, well, there's natural bacteria that are going to eat most of the oil anyway. Well, that's true, but why aren't they out there from day one spraying the bacteria they've got on top of it, which have no environmental impact? They're not really even engineered. They've just been bred to gobble up the oil, and then they reproduce in the oil. But you've got to put it in early so that the bacteria go with the flows of oil. It's hard once it's spread all over the Gulf to then go put it in pockets. Why did they do this?
They do it because of the money. They're not going to give up. They're going to make us absolutely dependent.
Exactly. And FEMA got more power. FEMA got more power off of what happened with Katrina by screwing up. Sorry, go ahead.
It's all about cap and trade. They're going to push this through. And isn't it convenient that Al Gore left the picture because he's getting a divorce during this this crisis? Where is he? I used to dive in the Florida Keys. I'm 67 years old, and I have a blog, and I beat the government up every day, and I use a lot of your material, and we listen to you maybe three times a day. And so we're doing our part, but this is a terrible thing, and I don't believe it was an accident. I just don't believe it.
Ma'am, thank you, and I think your instinct and research is on target. We just had the big report go up. This is 4 or 5 days of writing and research, a month of research that goes into this. But we've been writing this over the last, since last Friday, so 4 days. Evidence points to BP oil spill false flag. Evidence points to BP oil spill false flag. Now, the problem is Google is so immoral, you can buy the search term. And so they're spending millions of dollars a day to have the first four pages. If you go to Google, in fact, we'll do this live on PrisonPlanet.tv right now, and if you type in BP, just the letters BP or British Petroleum, and we'll do that live on TV for folks watching, but anybody can do this online, and every page is BP.com or their subsidiaries. I mean, keep scrolling down. BP, BP. It is just amazing that they are controlling what type of news is able to make it in there. And they bought the term oil spill. Now, what's interesting is I did this last night and this morning at my house, and the first 3 to 4 pages had no one in it. The top ones here are BP, but some of them actually are New York Times and others. So I don't know how they're I guess Google might have gotten embarrassed by this and must have just changed it. But still, they're dominating. But, I mean, it was nothing but BP.com, 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 BP World, BP, you know, different subsidiary websites, just page after page, their propaganda. And there's also a news blackout on the fact that there's a news blackout. 3 weeks ago, I had CBS News footage. We played clips here. Where they would try to go to public beaches in Louisiana, and armed men would pull up and say, "You're not allowed to be here. Orders of BP." We'd say, how is this continuing to happen? And, the answer is they're just getting away with it. And so we've got the satellite photos, folks, and the good news is most of it's staying far out to sea. And but the problem is it's going to go around Florida and hit the Keys. It is going to really hurt the Keys. But minus the Keys, the western coast of Florida, it is going to get hit some when it comes back around. The eastern coast is going to get hit some. But from what I've seen in the satellite images and then the computer models of how those currents flow, it could be a lot worse. The problem is if they don't get this fixed in the next month or two, ladies and gentlemen, when those hurricanes hit, then the flow completely changes and it just drives it into land. And you're going to have... It's tens of millions of gallons now. What is it, 500,000 a day? And it's 40-something days, and we're talking hundreds of millions of gallons is going to be hitting. And then you got a problem. You got a big problem. They should have burned that off. They should have been out there dropping napalm on it to keep it burning from day one. They should have kept. And that's the old way. They've had lots of oil spills, folks. You burn them. Yep. You set them on fire, folks. And then it's just black smoke. Whoop-de-doo. Let's go ahead and talk to Dave in Michigan. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Regarding gold, shift gears a little bit. I have recently been noticing a lot of TV commercials and have found a lot of websites that are offering this cash for gold. And my first thought about that was when seeing all this push for this, is could this be a plot to extract a precious metal with real value from the public and leave them with worthless fiat currency? I was wondering what you and maybe even Ted Anderson's take would be on this whole cash for gold thing.
By the way, Dave, this is not a setup call. We didn't tell you to call, correct?
No. I've been wondering about this for a while, and in fact, when you've had Ted Anderson on, over the last few weeks, I've tried to call and get on while you've had him on, and I've just never been able to get through.
All right, well, Dave,
first opportunity.
Dave, I appreciate your call. In fact, we'll put him on hold and get his take in a moment. Poor Ted. I get wound up, folks, so wound up I don't plug my own films, my own sponsors, my own books, how we fund ourselves. I get that wound up. And he was supposed to be on at 12:05 an hour ago, hour and 10 minutes. And I said, sorry, come on at 1:05. Now it's 1:16. We're live here on this Tuesday edition. Ted's been sitting there politely off and on for an hour waiting to come on. And so I can bring him up to answer your question. I was wanting to get to your calls and then get into all this economic news, tax hikes, and the 2011 economic collapse, Wall Street Journal. Investment banker, it's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. I'm going to cover that when we come back because now's the time to get into this. But and the oil spill is serving at many levels as a political distraction for all of this. The overall global financial military takeover that's happening. But absolutely, you're going to see gold ads everywhere selling gold because gold's a hot commodity and the best performing investment overall in the last 7 years. But you're also everywhere. I see these ads for we'll buy your junk gold. And I've seen they pay about half of what it's worth. And then they melt it down and sell it to the big gold companies who then turn it into coins or ingots and sell it back to you at a premium. So, yes, there are more reputable places that do it, but still they deserve some markup to pay for their mortar and their taxes and their employees. But they shouldn't pay you under about 10% of what gold's worth. I've been told by the industry that's a good deal if it's not already in coin form because they've got to then get it certified. They've then got to sell it. Who they're selling it to, you know, doesn't give them full market value either. So that's a pretty good deal if you're getting within 10%. If you're getting 90% of its value, but you've got to know how to value it. So, yes, that's why you see ads everywhere because they can't mine enough gold. Mints are running out all over the world. The real market has gold on average about $200, even for the coins that haven't been very popular. Krugerrands are one of the most unpopular coins in history because they're connected to the South African regime. Well, Krugerrands are sold out right now in many areas, and there's giant premiums on them. Okay, same things that are seen as quite plentiful. British sovereigns can't get them, or there's huge premiums. Maple leaves, can't get them, or huge premiums. U.S. buffaloes, can't get them, or there's giant premiums. Because they're selling out everywhere. So, see, the bankers are trying to suppress gold, but they're not successful. But to a certain extent, they are, because gold in the real market's $1,500 an ounce, $1,450 at its low. But they're telling you it's, you know, $1,250 right now. Let's bring Ted Anderson up briefly. Ted, do you agree with my analysis there?
Yeah, I sure do. I tell you, you see this happening where people will set up shops to buy jewelry and what they call it, scrap gold. As a matter of fact, in 1980, it happened too when the market surged. There are a lot of people that, you know, need money and they'll sell their old rings or dental or whatever they have, and it needs to be smelted. And you're not going to get 90% because that's about what a dealer can get when they group all their gold together, unless you have a large enough volume. And then they'll sell it to a smelter, have it assayed. You know, there's fees and charges in that, and then they turn it into bars and coins, just like you said. It's just recycling, that's all.
All right, stay there. But the issue is you don't get what your gold's really worth when you do that. Stay there, Ted Anderson. I want to come back to you, talk about the explosion in the gold market today, all-time records in Europe, almost hitting the record here in the U.S. Look, I'm not going to belabor this because I want to get into the financial news and more of your calls. Also, the military officer that released to WikiLeaks the video of the troops killing the kids, he's being charged. Bush is giving speeches saying he'd torture people again. But our government sent people who followed his orders to prison for the torture, but he's running around saying he would order torture again. What's wrong with that picture? It's two sets of rules, but I digress. Answering the caller's question on the gold, is that caller still there, John? Dave in Michigan, did that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. And I also wanted to mention that when I Googled it, I found a ton of reviews of people commenting on how they were ripped off, how the checks were very small compared to what they felt their gold was worth, asking for the gold back and not getting it, contacting the Better Business Bureau, bringing charges with their local police departments. It seems to be a real ripoff.
Well, I appreciate your call. Again, it varies. There have been places, normally you want to go to a reputable place that's been there for a long time, who's in the business of buying junk gold back. Obviously, you're going to get people that are going to end up not giving you that much money for it. But again, they've got a business, they got telephones, they got taxes. I mean, people expect for some reason with gold that there's going to be no markup, or in trading gold in that there's going to be, you know, no profit for them. And people love to complain, but I have no doubt there's scams out there, but I'm glad we can answer your question. The answer is to get high quality certified bullion or certified coins and to buy gold instead of selling gold. And now is the time. I mean, Ted Anderson, they're now in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, saying people are going to buy gold. Tell folks where gold is today.
Yeah, sure. Gold hit a peak that it's never seen before today so far at 1252.30.
Presently, it did break its previous U.S. record. Excuse me.
It did, but it hasn't closed at that. So usually when they say gold hit a record peak, they go off the close. So the market's still open. But the last peak was 1251 and change, and now it's seen a high of 1252.30. So right now, presently, 1244.20. So, yeah, it's definitely strong today, Alex. And people are buying because they want security. They want to get out of paper currency, and they want to hold on to gold. Your caller's right. I mean, there's a lot of people that do get ripped off out there, you know, and, you really have to beware, because just about, you know, there's so many people that come out of the woodwork to buy, you know, people's jewelry, and it can get to be really ugly. So
yeah, but that digresses us down a rabbit trail, but I'm glad we can answer that. We're not in the junk gold business, folks. We're in the business of selling you gold, not buying your gold. Though, Ted, you do buy people's gold back, don't you?
We sure do. And you're right. I'm not in the scrap business. If somebody needed to sell me scrap, they could. But that's not my particular goal. I handle coins that are very recognizable, like the British Sovereign, the Franc, the U.S. Eagle. We just picked up a supply of Buffaloes, by the way. You know, those are coins that
are excuse me? I want one of those. You got some buffaloes in.
Yep, we did. Yeah, we were able to secure a nice supply of those.
So now, Ted, I read in the news, anybody can go Google this and search it, that there's huge premiums. You know, gold is $1,242 right now, you know, at its all-time high in the U.S., all-time high in Europe. But that's not what coin companies are selling it for. I mean, I've seen huge $200 premiums on an ounce of gold that is bullion class. So how are you able to sell it lower than that? And I know the answer, you bought it when it was lower and you're still selling it, even though gold's higher, with the discount.
Well, that's what I try to do. I'm not getting a lot of opportunity right now because, you know, of this last little dip that came along. I only had about 2 or 3 days to stock up. But, that's what I do. What happens is when people put a demand on a finite supply, like British Sovereign, for example, they're not making those anymore. They're made back in the early 1900s. The supply that's there is it. When people come into the marketplace with literally billions of dollars to buy gold coins, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on a coin, and they start bidding up the premiums. You know, people see it on eBay. They see it everywhere. It's the same thing. You have supply, and then you have demand.
And now the Russian government, the Iranians, others are pouring in, the Indians, the Japanese, the Chinese, Europeans, who always look down their nose at gold. They liked big socialist governments, and boy, look how that ended up for them. And you've got all these open announcements of collapse. I hope we aren't going to have a full collapse. But by and large, NAFTA and GATT has already collapsed our industry. It's already collapsed our society. Now is the time to get into silver half dollars, to get into gold coins. Here's the toll-free number to call today, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. The brokers are there right now. Tell them Alex Jones sent you to get the lower prices. But I forgot to ask you, Ted, what you think your best deals on gold and silver are today. So tell us that offer when we come back. Then I'm getting into the economy, your calls, and a lot more.
Why the union's a big business man, and it's going down like a dinosaur.
food in Kansas.
Now they grow it on the moon and eat it raw. They used to grow food in Kansas. Yeah, now they grow it on the moon and eat it raw. I could see a day when even having your own garden will be against the law. They're now passing laws all over the world. Even in Oklahoma, they're trying to ban gardens because you might grow pot. You'd have a police inspection. We don't let prisoners, you're a prisoner of the New World Order, we don't let you grow plants without an inspection. Democracy don't rule the world. You better get that through your head.
Democracy don't rule the world.
You know, Bob Dylan is a patriot. It's all about the New World Order. Just going to let you know that. I can't tell you how I know, but a man's got to do what a man's got to do. That's a lot of real estate indeed. All right, I'm going to go to your calls and a bunch of other news. It's just this is such heavy subjects, I got to have some fun with it. It's gallows humor. When you're about to be hung, a lot of men, it was written in the annals, especially in England, would either beg and plead, or they would be quiet, or they would say prayers, or they would make jokes and have fun and enjoy themselves. And many of the reports are they would look up at the sky and take a big, delicious breath of fresh air before they got their neck snapped at the end of a rope. And so I try to be positive because I'd go crazy if I wasn't. I mean, I live in a country, I live in a world run by a scientific dictatorship. I know they're destroying the economy by design. I know they're poisoning our food and water by design on record. I know all the major GMO food lines sterilize every rat, every guinea pig they feed it to. And I know full well they're running their operation against us. And that 99.9% of us are in the same boat together, black, white, old, young, and that we, Hispanic, Jewish, Chinese, whatever you are, you're under attack, and we better grow up, and we better set the agenda of saying no to the New World Order. People say, well, if that's all true, why aren't you dead? Because there's too many of us speaking out, because it would highlight everything I've said, everything I've done. Somebody sent me a video of Bill Cooper, who had his problems, but he also was a talented radio host and author. And it was him saying, why aren't I dead yet? And he said basically what I've said, that he would be a martyr. It would then underline and highlight everything he'd said. Well, in the end, they did kill him. And I certainly get my share of death threats, so it could come at any time. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. And I'm going to tell the truth. I mean, I couldn't sit here knowing this. That's the biggest frustration is so many people know this information and they don't take action with it. So many people go look it up and find out, my gosh, it's true. Every major GMO crop line from four different major companies sterilizes every mammal it comes in contact with, totally fries them and gives them cancer, attacks their liver. Let's go to dinner, honey, and feed the kids a bowl full of corn chips that are GMO. I mean, would you give your kid Jack Daniels every day? And, you might as well. It's better for their liver than many of the GMO corn strains, the majority of what we're eating. Look, I'm already digressing. At a certain point, this is all I can talk about. They're chemtrailing us. They're poisoning the food and the water. It's now all admitted, and people are running around freaking out about the Gulf being hit by oil, and they're using deadly chemicals far worse than the oil to do something about it. But I'm going to shut up because I want to go to your calls. Ted, I mean, obviously, Midas Resources owns the network, and you're a big sponsor of my show. But I always get you on even when you're not sponsoring, above and beyond your sponsorship, because I buy gold, I buy silver. Over the years, I haven't had a lot of money, but I bought some silver here, some gold there, and gotten a tidy hoard, as an emergency backup. If everything implodes, I'll have something. I mean, it's not a dragon's treasure or anything. It's not Captain Kidd's treasure. But I mean, people, if they make decisions, can get into gold and silver, and I happen to know because I've shopped. I bought gold a few other places before, and I found you've got the best deals when it's these specials. You know, you've got collector coins and other stuff that's available that are great deals. But when it comes to bullion, these are the best deals people are going to find. Tell people about the best coin offers you've got today and what you've got available as others are running out or putting huge premiums on it, and when prices are going to go up, how long you can hold it at this lower price.
Well, I mean, obviously one of the great coins to be buying is that Buffalo piece, but we do have the Frank. It is, and I'm just happy to be able to sell them, actually. They're at $265, so the premium's actually low on them. It's a fractional piece of gold, so, you know, when it comes down to barter and trade, it's great for that.
And I'm not trying to be mean, but the coin dealer that Lindbeck promotes, it was in the news, and I went and checked it. It was true. 6 months ago, when gold was a lot less, was selling the same francs for $360 a piece.
Well, and it's not just that gold dealer. They're across the United States.
Okay, but let's explain. You have it $256, and I haven't gotten the sheet lately, but normally when I see these francs, you're making $4 on them, and that's when you bought them when it was lower.
Yeah, and they're just a touch higher than that right now. They're $265.
$265, so they've gone up a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, but look at gold. I mean, what has gone on there? I mean, gold has hit a peak that it's never seen.
Well, that's better than $360.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge discount to what's going on out there in the real world. But the same thing is that, you know, if you buy one of these coins, I'm going to buy a Bob Chapman's International Forecaster for a year. You know, that's $156 right there. Subtract that from the cost of the coin, I mean, you come up for about $500 an ounce for gold. I mean, you couldn't buy gold at $500 an ounce anymore. You'd have to go back about 10 years to find gold at that price. And so that is just a fabulous buy. And then, of course, the Walking Liberty halves are great at $975. You know, gold now approaching $1,300 an ounce. And older, you know, 100-year-old $20 liberties that were used here as currency, as money, they call those numismatics now. But they do contain just short of an ounce of gold. They're at $1,518. I was able to lower their price even though gold has gone up.
Let's explain. You're a big gold and silver dealer. You don't buy this stuff at what the melt price is. Some people, because there's some dealers that claim we have it at melt. That's not true. Okay, so there's a lot of bait and switching. The best deals I found are Ted Anderson, 800-686-2237. We usually spend a few minutes once or twice a week on this, but we're spending a lot more time today because this is big news. Gold at all-time high in the U.S. and in Europe. We'll see if it closes at that. But regardless, they're not going to be able to suppress the price much longer. They have been unsuccessful, and the market is trading way higher than what supposed unattainable spot gold is at. So we're seeing this is a rigged market right now, now more than ever. Even the rigged market is going up in price, but the real market is what, Ted? Am I right just from watching, and this is my layman's analysis, gold selling $200, $300 more an ounce, even for bullion, than what the market says spot gold is?
There are most certainly cases of that's true. Most of the stuff that I have right now is going to be closer to somewhere between $40, maybe $50 over spot. But there are some there's circumstances like take that British sovereign right now. They've shot up like crazy, and there's just no supply.
No, so I just see reports of the American Eagles for $1,500, and I see gold at $1,242, so I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, you definitely are seeing a lot of that out there right now.
Okay, but to be clear then, you've got francs that are 265?
Yeah, 265 a piece. They're a fifth of an ounce of gold. So you take five of them to make an ounce. So there is a little bit of a premium over spot, but you have a smaller piece. And fractional gold coins always carry a premium. And in order to help you with that premium, we're buying a full-year subscription to Bob Chapman's newsletter.
And then what are some of the other coins? We know you have the Buffaloes that are really hard to get. What mm-hmm. other coins have you gotten?
Well, then, of course, you can get the U.S. Eagle, and they're just trading just a little over $1,300 a piece. And then the Walking Liberty half, $975. Those on the internet are well over $10 now. Lakota Nation's at $2,355. That's a good buy because silver's been running up, and those were sitting at about $25 here just a short time ago.
Plus, you're supporting a patriotic network. Don't wait, folks. I believe you should get involved in gold and silver. I have personally, and it's really done well for me. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Or you can go buy elsewhere $360 for a franc. or you can pay $265. I don't know. You make the decision. 800-686-2237. God bless you, Ted.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. And your audience is wonderful. Thank them too for me, will you please?
You bet. God bless you. Well, you just thanked them just there. Okay, let me get on some of the financial news, and I promise, ahead of Watson coming on with all of the BP oil spill breakdown, he's gonna methodically cover every angle of it. You know how Watson does. And again, he's been popping in yesterday and today for 1 hour just to take his training wheels off as a guest host. So that's what we're doing right now with Watson. And he's done better than I thought he would. An excellent job. So I look forward to him coming up in the next hour. I want to go to Dante, Quincy, Morgan, Donna. I will at least get to you guys before the hour ends. But let me get into this economic news right now. In fact, we have that MSNBC clip with the guy talking about buy land and barbed wire. We have that queued up, or we're going to play that in a moment. And again, this is just two articles. I've got a whole bunch of these today. This is out of the Wall Street Journal. Tax hikes and the 2011 economic collapse. Today's corporate profits reflect an income shift in 2010. These profits will tumble next year, preceded most likely by the stock market. So the stock market will most likely tumble. And this is the Wall Street Journal, Arthur Laffer. Is very respected. People can change the volume, the location, and the composition of their income, and they can do so in response to changes in government policies. It shouldn't surprise anyone that the nine states with an income tax are growing far faster and attracting. It shouldn't surprise you that the nine states without a income tax are growing far faster and attracting more people than the nine states with the highest income tax. People and businesses are changing the location of income based on incentives. And then it just goes into how taxes have been raised all over the country and federally, how California is bombing out, and how when they raise taxes, they destroy economies, and they have graphs that show all of that, and that is absolutely true. And so, but Texas supposedly doesn't have an income tax. They got a franchise tax. They got a business tax. They're raping the daylights out of us, folks. I mean, it is disgusting. You ought to see the taxes I pay on the desk and the microphone. It's a property tax is what it really is. And it just makes me want to shut down. But I can't because I got to fight the New World Order. I don't even want to make money. I just want to pay for things and be able to run my operation and pay my employees. But they've got it all rigged now with all these new taxes where you pay taxes on everything. And then it makes you want to not pay the taxes, and then they get to throw you in prison. And more and more of the money goes to offshore banks. It just all goes to them. You know, they raise your taxes. They cut your supposed benefits. They cut your supposed services. You're seeing it everywhere. This is the New World Order model. Here's another one. Investment banker. It's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. What did I tell you 4 years ago? Austin is the richest city per capita in the country. Everybody's fleeing New York and L.A. and Chicago and Miami and Palm Beach. And I'm a media person. And working in media and being at events and phone calls and meetings I've had, I've met billionaires, quite a few of them. I mean, real billionaires, people that are on the Forbes list, not fake billionaires that are a dime a dozen, you know, at the country club telling you they're a billionaire. And for 4 years, they have all been leaving the country. And I told you about John Wayne's family, a big portion of them leaving the country. They've made the decision. They're all leaving. They're going to Costa Rica, and it looks like the CIA and others are going to keep that somewhat free for a while, though they're set up a police state there. They're going to loot Switzerland. They're going to loot the Cook Islands. There's really nowhere to run. Luxembourg, Monte Carlo. There's nowhere to go. The bankers, unless you're a multi-billionaire, they're even robbing the billionaires. They're robbing the people worth $100 million. They're robbing the people worth $500 million. They are taking it all. They don't want a middle class. They don't want a rich nouveau riche. They wage war against middle class, against poor people, against the new wealth, nouveau riche, new wealthy. They do not want you to have two pennies to rub together. This is their tool of control. What did the London Guardian find out at Bilderberg? That they want to bankrupt us to make us where we're so poor, we don't have money to go protest them. You know, investment banker. It's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. Let's go ahead and play that clip. Do we have it queued up to the spot where he talks about the barbed wire and guns? Here it is.
Is senior managing director at Evercore Partners, an investment banker to his roots. Do you think that Tijan Tiam was given the right advice by his banking advisors?
That's a great one for first thing in the morning. Thank you for that, Jeff. I enjoyed that hugely. Yes, start strong. Well, I mean, clearly the situation is incredibly messy now, and I think the shareholders have put themselves into quite a tricky position. I mean, on the one hand, everyone's sort of, a lot of the newspapers and all the coverage is praising shareholders for standing up and saying we don't want to do this. On the other hand, what message does that send to management? Management of the board put forward a strategy. Shareholders rejected. What do the shareholders now do? Do you sort of say to the managers, well, we may think your strategy is completely wrong, but keep on going anyhow? Are they going to take some other action? I think the company...
All right, that's a seven-minute clip, and I thought I'd told them where to queue it up, but I hadn't. So we're going to queue it up, play it after the break, the specific part, because it's a seven-minute clip. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com if you want to watch the whole clip and also read the article by Paul Joseph Watson this morning. Investment banker, it's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. And what have we seen mayors and police chiefs and sheriffs from California to Ohio say in the last 2 months? We're laying off 47%. We're laying off 65%. You know, we're going from 144 to 42 sheriff's deputies in the entire county, and only three of them will be allowed each day, one shift, to respond to crime. Our other deputies will be writing tickets and raising money. Arm yourselves. Well, what sheriff couldn't morally say arm yourselves? Arm yourselves. The government isn't going to protect you. And there is a serious potential for the complete and total collapse of society. There is a serious potential for the complete collapse. And I go back to basic numbers because this is the stuff keeping me up at night. It's very elementary. University studies show that millions and millions, some studies as high as seven, some even higher, millions starved to death during the 10-year Great Depression, with 90% or right at 90% of the public being agrarian, living on the land, being self-sufficient, having chickens out back. We're now almost 90% urban and don't know how to change our oil, don't know how to plant a crop, don't know how to pick our nose. You know, I mean, we expect the government to send a special nose picker for us to do it. What is going to happen if the depression continues? We've already got 40 million Americans on food stamps. That's high-tech soup lines. What is going to happen when there's only 10% that are self-sufficient, and most of the rural people aren't self-sufficient? It's more like 5% of the country. What's going to happen? California, you're on the air. Go ahead, Dante.
Hi, Alex. I got an article here you're going to want to write down if you still have that pen and pad ready. AP, Enterprise, sub-attack was near U.S. South Korea drill, keyword being drill. And it says in this article here that 2 months after the sinking, U.S. officials for the first time disclosed details of the joint naval exercise held the same day as the attack on the Chinook.
So, yeah, no, Wayne Madsen, though, actually knew 2 weeks ago that there was a drill and that it was right in a nest of U.S. forces with deep-sea divers, and they were doing some type of torpedo drill. So the evidence is leaning towards another false flag because the Japanese government was about to throw U.S. forces out. Now the prime minister resigned, apologized, and said, your troops stay here. Please don't let North Korea get us.
Okay, just make sure you didn't look over that.
No. I'm glad you told me, but I mean, now they're admitting it, huh? What was that out of, AP?
AP, yeah. The title was AP Enterprise Sub-Attack Was Near U.S. South Korea Drill. And I also wanted to see if you had a chance to see Iron Man 2, because in that movie, the whole movie is pretty much about, you know, arms dealings, but the whole movie they're talking about how Tony Stark is trying to stop weapons from being sold to North Korea and Iran. Those are the only two countries mentioned in the whole movie about...
Well, you know, I did. It's funny you said that. I did watch Iron Man last week on the treadmill in two different jogs. And the entire film is Pentagon propaganda placement, and you can see where it's all paid for. It is total mind control, start to finish, pro-Afghan war. So, of course, this movie's going to be right on time for Iran and North Korea, just like they had the Pearl Harbor movie right before 9/11. It's all queued up. It's all staged. And it's all part of mind control. I appreciate your call. No, I haven't been out to the theater. The only movies I really watch now is when I'm on the treadmill, because if I'm not watching movies, I can't jog for more than 20 minutes. But good. I'm watching Hurt Locker right now. I haven't seen the end of it yet. It's pretty good, actually. I got to finish jogging tonight. I didn't have time this morning because I was on Coast to Coast last night, so I had to get some shut-eye this morning. Couldn't get up too early. Mindless trivia. Why does that matter? Let's go ahead and talk to Ted. All right, talk to Ted. Quincy in California, you're on the air.
Alex Jones, Alex Jones, Alex Jones. I'm Quincy calling from We Are Change. Taylor, East Bay, and I'm always passing out your stuff, man, every day. So, but I just would like to say, as far as things are going, could this possibly have been a mud volcano that DK might have hit, and the news might not be actually saying the truth? What do you think on that theory, sir?
Say that again.
Could BP might have actually struck a mud volcano?
Oh, they do have underwater volcanoes. Like, there's more volcanoes, because the Earth's 75% covered by the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and Arctic Oceans and other oceans, the seven seas. The point is that, yes, they do have these big vents that do eject mud and oil and chemicals, toxic compounds out of volcanoes. That's another great point. I mean, this they need to plug it. It is a problem, but them shutting down the beaches, shutting down the fishing, and using toxic chemicals to disperse it is far worse than the oil itself, from all the evidence I've seen. That's a really great point, and I appreciate your call, Quincy. We'll come back. I'll do five more minutes, and then we've got Paul Joseph Watson coming up. He's going to go over the entire BP operation in great detail. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Joseph Watson coming up in about 8 minutes. If you go to the CNBC website, you can read the quotes by The Economist. It's not actually in that shorter video clip. We're trying to find a longer one. Investment banker, it's going to get nasty. Buy land, barbed wire, and guns. Gold climbs a new record as double-dip recession talk grows. And, of course, Bloomberg reporting since the weekend, U.S. $13 trillion debt poised to overtake GDP chart of the day. This is where they wanted to get us. This is the exact position they wanted to put us in. Morgan in Alabama. Morgan, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk about the BP incident. And my thing is, since it happened, they quit talking about the explosions that happened. They haven't mentioned anything else about that. It's been like a shadow over it in the media. But to me, it just seems like the Gulf Coast is a great place for them to experiment or to start their dominance in this country of the takeover that you talk about a lot. And I think when it gets really hot down here this summer, the gas prices are going to be affected by this. And I'm not saying that I know that, you know, nobody knows for sure, but I think that's part of the plan, and it may be part of finally collapsing the dollar, because, you know, when you've seen in the past 8 years, when we've had the hurricane seasons, it's really bad. You have three or four hurricanes come, you know, and hit the Gulf Coast. You see these gas shortages happening, you know, people standing in line. I think that it's going to be, you know, three times as worse, at least by August. It's going to be really bad.
No, I agree with you. It's again, I mean, it's a perfect storm of things happening. And you add to that that BP now says that another company put an unauthorized piece of equipment on and they can't get answers. And that's where the real investigation should be focused. That could be the cover for the false flag event. And Watson, Steve Watson, Paul Watson, and myself put an article together that boils all of this down. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com, and Paul Watson's going to walk through that, and he may even take some calls, probably will, after the half-hour point, after he's covered it specifically on the oil spill. In fact, I've tried to get to all the calls that were on the board, but we're not going to be successful at that. But I'll have John up at the network go through Donna, Chris, Mysterious, and other callers. Why don't you just call yourself Frankenberry or something? I don't know. Mysterious. Tweedledee. Well, whatever. I'm going to stop being stupid. Keebler. Just give yourself some type of fanciful name. We'll say the caller from California is Matt Ryan. How does that sound? We'll say that secretly Matt Ryan calling in. No, to be totally serious here, 1-800-259-9231. Watson coming up at the bottom of the hour if he covers the news. He'll take a few calls on the Gulf oil spill to get your take on that. 1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us here live on air. There's another big report up on Drudge. 74% oppose taxing internet news sites to help newspapers. That's been proposed by the Federal Trade Commission. And there's a poll out. There's an article by Rasmussen Polls dealing with this. I'm ashamed that 26% of people that were polled would want to take money from people that have websites and give it to the fat cat, corrupt, lying newspapers. But again, you got 26%. I bet those are government workers and bureaucrat types. That's about who works for the government now. Of course, 95% of new job growth is in the government sector. And I'm not saying we don't need some government, but come on, folks. The whole country's collapsing. We're not going to have any jobs if this doesn't stop. But if you go to PrisonPlanet.com, you can read the top story that's just gone up in the last hour. Evidence points to BP oil spill, false flag. This goes through all of it. It is so important that this article get out to everyone and that this article run the blockade that BP's got up there with Google trying to block all critical news of BP out of the internet. You know, they're trying to block us there. We might just let them block us because maybe they'll just throw a fit and shut the whole web down if we don't submit to them. No, folks, we've got to fight back. Great job to the crew. I'm going to bow out. Paul Watson is coming up for the last 58 minutes of transmission. Don't forget the online video bookstore to support us and get key material, Infowars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's Tuesday, June 8th, 2010. This is the final hour of the Alex Jones Show. My name is Paul Joseph Watson. I'm the editor and writer at PrisonPlanet.com, and I'll be sitting in for the last 60 minutes on today's broadcast, as I did yesterday. Of course, we have Kurt Nimmo over at Infowars.com and Steve Watson, who is the writer and editor at Infowars.net, as well as PrisonPlanet.com. Now, Alex has been discussing the BP oil spill throughout the length of the broadcast. And within the last hour, we've just published a report on this at PrisonPlanet.com. And there are a number of disturbing, suspicious, and revealing pieces of evidence that, as Alex talks about in the past 3 hours, strongly indicate that not only was there foreknowledge of the explosion, but the so-called accident may indeed have been deliberate. Now, what we've seen over the past several days is, and especially today, this fake grandstanding by Obama, he's going to, quote, kick ass and deal with the culprits of whoever was behind and whoever was responsible for the oil spill. And basically, I'm just not buying it. I mean, Obama was anointed at the 2008 Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, where he met there with Hillary Clinton in this big secret meeting that was built up by the media but never actually reported on the fact that it was at Bilderberg. Now, BP, basically is Bilderberg. Every single person of influence within British Petroleum is a key Bilderberg member and regular attendee. People like John Brown, the former CEO, people like the chairman, Henrik Svanberg, and of course the current chief executive of BP, Tony Hayward, who was recently pretty active in getting rid of his shares in BP right before the oil spill. That's one of the pieces of evidence we cover in the article. And of course, former BP chairman Peter Sutherland, who is now the chairman of Goldman Sachs, who also attended the Bilderberg meeting in Spain over this past weekend. So this sideshow, this Punch and Judy show that Obama is now going after BP and after the culprits of the oil spill, I'm just not buying it because, I mean, the first thing that Obama did after this happened and after it became pretty apparent that it was a big disaster and that it was ruining businesses and livelihoods all around the Gulf Coast, the first thing he did was go on holiday. In fact, he's been on two vacations since it happened. 2 weeks ago, he was playing basketball. I mean, come on. There's no way Obama's going after BP. They're both Bilderberg minions. They're on the same team. And indeed, it seems like Obama's taking one for the team with his political career because there's certainly no way he's going to go after BP because they're both together with the Bilderberg group in on this new world order. And ultimately, the bigger this crisis gets and the more the media hypes it up, the bigger the opportunity to exploit it, which is, you know, exactly what people like Rahm Emanuel, Obama's top advisor, and Hillary Clinton both routinely call for, is for crises to be exploited to pursue the agenda of world government, which is exactly what's happening with this BP disaster. And it's not just the fact that Halliburton, as Alex mentioned in the last segment, purchased this company to deal with, specifically this company deals with oil spill cleanups, and Halliburton purchased it right before the explosion happened. It's not just the fact that Goldman Sachs, which of course is headed up now by Peter Sutherland, Bilderberger, and former BP CEO, Goldman Sachs dumped 44% of its shares in BP, British Petroleum, during the first quarter of this year. And it's not just the fact that Tony Hayward, the current BP CEO, sold £1.4 million of his shares in BP in the weeks before the disaster. I mean, all that suggests that there was foreknowledge, indeed. But the most alarming smoking gun is the fact that BP's own investigative report into the oil spill, on page 37, and we've got this linked up in the article on prisonplanet.com, quite clearly states that, quote, undocumented modifications were made to the hydraulic system that is used to seal the well in the event of an emergency before the explosion took place. So BP is now claiming that they don't know who did this, when it happened, it's completely undocumented, but that modifications were made to the very piece of equipment that is supposed to stop this kind of disaster from taking place. Now, why that's not all over the news, I have no idea, because it's right there in page 37 of BP's own investigative report into the disaster. So not only do we have the suspicious stock and share sales right before the event, Halliburton purchasing this oil spill cleanup company right before the event, but we have the fact that BP's own report says that unknown modifications occurred with the very equipment that's supposed to prevent this kind of disaster before the explosion took place. Now, obviously the question to ask is if this was deliberate or if anybody had foreknowledge of it and knew that it was about to take place in order to benefit. Cui bono, who benefits? I mean, experts are now saying that this could drag on for years and years and years. Well, we know that Obama and the globalists who control him, who pull his strings, who anointed him at the 2008 Bilderberg meeting, which was also attended by members of British Petroleum, they want a carbon tax. They want a gas tax. They want a consumption tax. It all basically means the same thing. But they're not going to get it with the situation that we've got in place at the moment. Certainly what would help them to get it rammed through is if the government, federal government of the United States, nationalizes the oil companies, which we know is a stated goal of the Democrats. And so we've got, with the failure of Copenhagen and with the exposure of the phony global warming movement after ClimateGate, the carbon tax has basically hit a dead end. But now we've got this major environmental disaster. Obama appears to have been asleep at the wheel in the initial stages of it. But now he's promising to, quote, kick ass and identify the culprits who were responsible for the mistakes that led to the, quote, accident. But the problem is, the culprits are his Bilderberg friends who visit the same meeting each year and get the same instructions that he does. So there's no way in the world Obama has any interest in prosecuting or finding the culprits behind the disaster. So this is all intended to provide justification for the agenda to nationalize oil companies, which the Democrats have publicly pursued. And it will open the door for a carbon tax. And the longer it drags on, the more intense the problem seems to be, with non-stop coverage from the media, who in the initial stages of this, I mean, it was a big story, but it wasn't up there as the top story every day with endless coverage. I mean, every time I turn on CNN or Fox News in the last 2 weeks, top story has always been this BP oil spill, which is strange for a story that started, what, now more than 6 weeks ago. There's a news cycle, and even if this is a big problem, 6 weeks after it occurred, it doesn't normally stay at the top of the news cycle, but it's being pushed back up there because I think we're going to see very soon measures proposed to at least part nationalize the oil companies, or at least use this, exploit this crisis to further the so-called green economy and the move towards a carbon tax, a consumption tax, a gas tax that will, of course, completely eviscerate whatever disposable income the middle class has left after, you know, the crippling fascist austerity measures that are now being proposed, not only in Europe, but also in America. So, the article's up there at prisonplanet.com. We run through all the evidence, the suspicion, the indications that not only was there foreknowledge, I don't think anyone can deny that there was some kind of foreknowledge. This mirrors almost entirely the aggressive selling of airline stocks before 9/11.
Watson, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm out there watching and listening as you fill in on the syndicated transmission. And I was just reminded of Haiti. Hundreds of thousands dead. It was in the news for 3 weeks. That just happened a few months ago. It's now completely off the table. And Sean Penn and others are running around trying to get celebrities to go public and try to get them help because tens of thousands of more are dying right now. It has completely collapsed. But that just goes to your point of that is a lot bigger than this oil spill. You know, not to belittle the size of this and the importance of it. So clearly they are artificially hyping it to the top. And I think overall just as a political diversion from the global political meltdown that's happening. But finish up when you come back with your points. I just wanted to pop in and tell you you're doing a great job. I'm Alex Jones, Paul Joseph Watson, sitting in the last hour today while I sit here in the command center working on a new film. But the show's so informative, I'm just actually sitting here listening to Paul Watson.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm filling in for Alex. It's Paul Joseph Watson. Alex is working on his upcoming documentary film. And we're talking about the BP oil spill. We'll be taking some of your calls in the next segment. Now, we were talking about this grandstanding that's going on with Obama preparing to, quote, kick ass and root out the culprits that were behind making the, quote, mistakes that led to the oil spill. Now BBC is reporting US tests confirm big underwater oil plumes. Tests have shown that underwater oil plumes are traveling dozens of miles from a leaking well in the Gulf of Mexico, the US government says. And it makes reference to this interview with NBC News that Obama did, in which he said he would have fired British Petroleum CEO Tony Hayward over the remarks he's made about the crisis, which, as I said before the break, is a complete misnomer. This idea that Obama is cracking down on BP is completely a fraud. It's a sideshow, because Tony Hayward, Peter Sutherland, and the other people involved at the top with BP are all top Bilderberg attendees, as was Obama in 2008. There's no fight between these people. It's ridiculous to even suggest it, which is why, for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the crisis, Obama was too busy taking two vacations and playing basketball to even care about what was going on. I mean, you know, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. That's exactly what Obama did, because they only benefit from this crisis becoming bigger and bigger, because it jives directly with their agenda for a carbon tax, a consumption tax, a gas tax, which will be made all the more easier if they're able to nationalize the oil companies, which is what the Democrats and Obama have stated is their ultimate agenda. So we're going to take calls on that after the break and get your take on what's going on with the BP oil spill. As I mentioned, prisonplanet.com, in the last hour and a half, we posted a big article on this listing all the evidence suggesting that not only was there foreknowledge with all these top CEOs dumping their stocks, Goldman Sachs dumping their stocks right before the crisis occurred, but there's actually evidence of deliberate tampering with the very systems that are supposed to prevent this kind of disaster. In BP's own official investigative report on page 37, it says that the hydraulic systems were undocumented. There were undocumented alterations with the hydraulic systems before the explosion. Also in the next segment, we're going to get into, just briefly, because we're going to take calls mainly, but how top historians and analysts are now forecasting, and this ties into the carbon tax post-industrial revolution agenda that the globalists are pushing, how top analysts are forecasting an age of rage, and how the austerity measures that you've seen in Greece, you've seen the reaction to them in Greece, the media don't really tell you what those austerity measures are, have provoked chaos, violence, and even deaths. Now, those scenes are coming to the United States. They're coming to other countries in Europe. But what exactly are these austerity measures that the Greeks are so up in arms about? We're going to get into that, and we're going to break down how, if you thought the scenes that we saw unfold in Greece were bad, wait until what's going to happen, not only in the UK, but later on down the line in America, when these same kind of fascist austerity measures, which basically amount to nothing more than a massive lowering of living standards in line with the, quote, post-industrial revolution that the globalists want to force upon the population of the West, you're going to see really how in jeopardy your pensions, your savings, people on welfare, you're going to see how much in jeopardy all these things are
with the austerity measures that governments are planning to impose within the next year or two in Europe, and certainly America's going to follow, not for a while. Obviously, they're saying 7 to 10 years America will be on a par with Greece. I think it's going to come into play before that, but certainly Europe will be the first to suffer these consequences of this fiscal fascism from the financial terrorists that caused the crisis in the first place. But after the break, we're going to take your calls on this and the BP oil spill. Stay tuned. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph.
Down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago.
It's the Alex Jones Show. That's right, the British kept a coming. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, filling in this final hour for Alex Jones, who is working on his documentary film. Now, we're talking about a BP oil spill. And how the evidence now suggests that not only was there foreknowledge of the event, but that there may even have been tampering with the equipment that caused the oil spill, the explosion itself. We're also going to get into the wider aspects of this post-industrial revolution that the globalists are trying to impose on the free people, specifically in the Western world. But now we're going to take some of your calls. I want to talk about the BP oil spill. I want to talk about Bilderberg, the austerity fascism that's coming. And our first caller is Donna in New Hampshire. Donna, you are on the air.
Hi, Paul. You're doing a wonderful job. I just wanted to kind of touch base with, first of all, my husband is down in the Gulf. He's been down there ever since all of this started uprising. And he has been at ground zero. And he said the oil, when you go 5 miles west or 5 miles east, you didn't see anything all the way up to the shore. And, you know, I really think this has been my take on it from the very beginning, that BP... excuse me, BP is falling on their sword. They're falling on their sword for the New World Order to implement the carbon taxes and get all this, because Obama came in and said that there's going to be no more drilling, which would put my husband out of business, along with the fact that there's no fishing being done. That's ruining a billion-dollar industry right there. What better way to shut down everything and collapse our economy, but to come in and make this look bigger than it is? The media has been throwing this completely out, you know, out of whack. And the fact that BP wouldn't even let, you know, most of mainstream media even in and around the area, you know, is telling to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as this happened, you had people like Mark Levine questioning why Obama was sending SWAT teams there. And saying that basically, you know, as you said, this represents completely the wrong response to how this should be handled. You mentioned the fishing that's been devastated, and it has. And we know that the government, the federal government, the globalists do indeed have this agenda to shut down the oil industry. That's what they talk about. That's what Barroso, the EU Commission head, talks about on a regular basis. That's what the post-industrial revolution is. It's about shutting down industry and turning our economy into this green economy, which is a complete disaster because it costs 2.2 jobs for every job created. So they want to lower living standards, they want more unemployment, and letting this crisis rumble on, as it has done, is the perfect entree to achieving that. And I thank you for your call. We're going to move on now to Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're on the air.
How you doing, Paul?
All right, Bill, how are you?
Real good, real good. Hey, just wanted to point out that today on MSNBC, Obama is sitting there saying that he's going to fire the president of British Petroleum for his muffing up the job. And I find it very funny because didn't the U.S. government say that they were in charge of the job? And if that's true, then isn't Obama firing himself?
Well, that's right. As I said in the last segment, Obama and BP are on arm in arm. They're hand in hand. They're both luminaries of the Bilderberg Group. Now, the idea of Obama being able to fire somebody in a private corporation is, of course, completely fascist. They tried to have that included in the TARP package. In fact, I think they did have language which indicated that Obama would be allowed to fire CEOs of corporations, which, of course, is completely undemocratic. It's completely anti-business, and it's not something that's ever happened before in a free America. But, yeah, it's a Punch and Judy sideshow. Obama's not going to go after BP. He's not going to kick any ass. He's on the same team as them, and both Obama politically and BP are taking one for the team, and they're allowing this to get worse and worse so they can later exploit the crisis.
You know, pertaining to Chris Matthews' show coming up on the 16th there, I thought that everybody should use this as an opportunity, okay, to make lemonade out of lemons. So if Chris Matthews is going to be handing out lemons for the Tea Party and specifically to Alex Jones, you know, I really think that we ought to have a viewing party across the United States of all the Tea Partiers and so on and so forth to go ahead and have a good laugh. Because, you know, we know that these guys are trying to expose people that are exposing them to, you know, to what's really going on. So, you know, I thought that that would be another great thing to probably do.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, the thing about Chris Matthews and this, you know, rise of the right is basically going to be a smear attack on Alex Jones and everybody who is trying to expose this globalist takeover. And it's coming up, I believe, in the next few days or early next week. I mean, Chris Matthews says that his hero is Saul Alinsky, you know, the big commie. The rise of the right, I mean, if your hero is Saul Alinsky, then everybody on the political spectrum is going to be to the right of you. It's ridiculous. Alex Jones spent 8 years bashing Bush, and he's this right-wing extremist. I mean, they're hoping that people have quite short memories there. And, of course, it's trying to portray us as radicals. It ties in with the Mayak report, trying to smear us all as domestic terrorists when we've been nothing but peaceful. They did the same thing with the 9/11 truth movement, trying to say they were dangerous, completely failed again. So it's going to be interesting what kind of tactic they, what kind of angle they approach this at, but it's probably going to be the same tired old cliches about how we're this frontier of dangerous extremism when all we're doing is telling the truth and trying to wake up people to what's happening. Thank you for your call. And now we're going to go to Henry in Michigan. Henry, you are on the air.
Hey, Walter. How you doing?
All right, Henry, what's on your mind?
Well, hey, I'll tell you, I don't know if anybody else has seen this. On the 21st, the day after this explosion, they had a survivalist that said that prior to the explosion, the BP project manager, I'm assuming, had a big meeting with all the BP higher echelons of the contractor that built the rig. And they knew perfectly well beforehand that the check valve, you know, down below was faulty and the seals were broken and everything else. And this kid came out on TV and spilled the beans. Well, since then, I haven't heard one thing about, never have seen this guy again on TV, the survivalist, but he spilled his guts out saying that BP was perfectly aware of the whole situation. And
Go ahead.
And something else that really puzzles me about this whole situation is, you know, I've been a pipe fitter, industrial pipe fitter, for 42 years, and I'm watching these stupid clowns, you know, trying to cut this pipe down there. Granted, it is quite a depth down, but to cap that well would be a simple thing. I mean, you stick in a blow-up plug, you shoot it full of gas, and you fill it full of hydronic cement, and it's capped. And I feel that the reason that BP is negligent in capping this thing is that once it's capped, the well is dead. And it all boils down to the greed and money thing, and plus they're trying to, for some reason, it seems to me they're trying to kill the Gulf. And to raise the gas prices, to bring in their New World Order regime, and make hell on earth here for us.
The point you raise that BP is probably trying to not stop the leak because it would shut down the well entirely. That's a charge that's come up quite often, that their agenda is to restart the well. So if they did shut it down entirely, I mean, there's been talk of nuking it. That would obviously terminate it entirely. Then they would lose a lot of money. But, I mean, as you also talked about earlier, the actual device, the hydraulic control system that's supposed to prevent this kind of disaster from happening, in BP's own investigative report, and I suggest you read it, we link to it in the article that we've posted on Prison Planet, very interesting, on page 37, it says that they, quote, identified undocumented modifications to the hydraulic control system. The extent of these modifications is unknown at this time. So they knew that something had been tampered with before it happened, and then you have the foreknowledge of the top BP executives selling all the stocks and shares. So very suspicious, and indicates that a lot more is going on than what we're being told, and there's definitely a cover-up. But we're going to go to the next caller. Thanks for your call, Henry. We're going to Stuart in Massachusetts. Stuart, you are on the air.
Hey, cheers, Watson.
Hi, Stuart. What's on your mind today, Stuart?
Okay, this is what I want to bring up, and I'm not an expert on this, but me and my friends were talking, and my friend Henry, who's pretty smart, brought this up. What's going to happen now when there's a hurricane down there, because there is pretty much every year? And on top of that, what are the odds of lightning igniting and ended up with some real biblical-type weather, like fire raining from the sky? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens if you get the perfect storm down there? I mean, I know a hurricane's probably going to disperse it all over the South. I mean, it's probably going to get everywhere. But what happens, is it possible for lightning to ignite that while it's in the atmosphere and ending up with just some real horrific, you know, like, basically, like I said, fire raining down from the sky? I don't know if you know much about that either, but I want to put that out there because, you know, he raised that point, and I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? So if somebody who does know about that kind of stuff could look into it, or call up, or if someone could look into it, would be great, because I think people should know if that's a possibility. And that's all I want to say. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know much about it personally, but certainly on the issue of the hurricanes, I mean, we saw with Katrina, they used that as an excuse to get the troops in and conduct the disarmament procedure. And now troops, according to reports, are going to be heading there, to deal with the crisis of the oil spill. So we're going to have to watch that very carefully. Thanks for the call, Stuart. And now we're going to go to John in North Carolina. John, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. About the oil situation, I know there's a large variety of points people have made, and it's tough to say, really. That's my perspective right now, what the nature of it is. I think what we know is that the response was very lackluster, very slow, and is still very slow and lackluster. And it certainly seems like they're trying to let the fire keep burning and not try to put it out. I think we could make that determination, don't you think?
Yeah, and what's amazing to me is, you know, this oil spill camera that we're constantly seeing. You can barely open up a news website without seeing it now. Turn on Fox News or CNN. And this oil spill camera shows you second-by-second progress of how much is spilling out. And that was set up by BP. So you'd think that, you know, if they're buying Google searches, which they are, then why have they set up this oil spill camera that constantly reminds people of how bad this disaster is second by second? So that's also something that baffled me. It does seem there's an attempt to hype this, and I mean, obviously it's a devastating crisis, but at some level, BP seem to be involved in hyping the crisis, which is very odd. Unless you consider the fact that they might be trying to hype it to the extent where massive, quote, solutions need to be called for, which obviously lead to nationalisation and measures like that that we discussed earlier in the show. But thanks for your call. And we've got a lot of callers coming in. We're going to move to Joe in Chicago. Joe, what's on your mind?
Yes, MI6. K-E-Y-M-O-I-S-E.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Mike in Wyoming, you are on the air. Welcome.
Yes, thanks, Paul. The other day I saw an article of yours that suggested that treaties overriding even the Constitution itself were problematic, or, you know, were a matter of debate, and yeah. I just wanted to lay that one to rest. Treaties necessarily fall underneath the Constitution and over statute law. Otherwise, you could use treaties to simply unravel the Constitution itself. And the founders weighed in on that. They were very explicit that treaties did not sit at the same level in terms of their legal status as the Constitution.
Yeah, that was an article about this UN small arms treaty, which Bilderberg is apparently trying to use as an end run around the Second Amendment. And I basically wrote that, you know, the notion that a treaty trumps the Constitution is a murky area of debate. From what I read, any such treaty needs Senate approval, but there have been examples in the past where it can override the Constitution. I'm not saying that's right. Basically, the point I was making was that this is what the federal government will claim if they try to push this through. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's completely illegal for it to happen, but this is what they will claim if they try to get something through, like the small arms treaty, and then use it against American citizens, that it overrides the Constitution, when obviously it doesn't, because it's not been approved by Congress or the Senate. Thanks for the call, Mike. And the next caller is Diane in Florida. Diane, you are on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to relay some information I heard on Phil's Gang, which is out of Sarasota, Florida. This was last week. And Goldman Sachs shorted BP 4.6 million shares 2 days before the oil spill. What a coincidence.
Yeah, that's right, and it's in the article. We'll be back after the break. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Stay tuned for the final segment. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo volar en el cielo infinito.
The Alex Jones Show, final segment. Now, we didn't get time to get into this, but we keep hearing about these austerity measures. We keep seeing the riots in Greece and hear people talking about them coming to America. But what exactly are these austerity measures? How will they affect us? How will they affect our savings, our income, our taxes, our pensions, our public services? We've got an article coming up at prisonplanet.com which delves into this and clarifies exactly why there are massive riots coming to Europe and eventually America over the next 2 or 3 years. And this article explains exactly why. Well, in these final few minutes, we're going to go to our final couple of callers. And the next one is Sonny in Ohio. Sonny, you are on the air. Sonny dropped off. Okay, we'll go to Teresa in California. Teresa, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Yes, I know that, based on what I've understood, that the 1% elite own the entire world. And are we supposed to arm ourselves with the ammunition and guns and barricade ourselves in our homes? But I want to ask you one more thing, if I may, please, or just make a statement, that they say that conspiracy theory is bogus. Well, if you look at Gerald Celente, Max Kaiser, Bob Chapman, they all follow suit with the understanding of Alex Jones.
No, I mean, the thing that shocks me is you've got people with $200 haircuts and fancy suits on CNBC saying exactly the same things as Max Kaiser, Gerald Celente and Alex Jones. So when it gets to that stage, it stops being a conspiracy theory. I mean, take, for example, the article I wrote this morning, investment banker, it's going to get nasty by land, barbed wire and guns. And this was a guy on CNBC saying this, saying that basically you better stock up on gold, guns and land because the markets are going south. The turmoil is only going to get worse and there are going to be riots. And that's exactly what Kaiser, Celente and Alex Jones have been saying for years. So, I mean, it's gone beyond claiming that this is a conspiracy theory put out by paranoid, insane people. That's dead. That was 5 years ago. Now we're in it. It's manifestly provable and it's happening. So, you know, on the face of it, it's an open conspiracy, as we've emphasized many times. So there's no longer any denial. We're going to try Sonny again. Sonny in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, good show today there, Paul.
Okay, Sonny, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to tell you, when you were talking about why they're showing the second-by-second thing of the camera footage, it's the watching the train wreck scenario. That's what it is. It's a complete distraction, so you sit there and watch this. Matter of fact, the radio talk show I often listen to here in Cincinnati, the gentleman's a libertarian, and he was commenting about that, about the fact that he himself was sitting to watch it for like 40 minutes before a show prep the other day. I'm just sitting there going, what's the purpose? You know, but they're keeping you totally distracted while they're doing all the wizard behind the curtain things with the cap and tax and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. It's a distraction, and the fact that BP put it out there, I mean, shows that entirely. But we've come to the end of the show. Sorry to Janice in Texas. If you call back tomorrow, you'll be able to get on the air. And we've got this big austerity fascism article coming out at prisonplanet.com, so be sure to visit the websites and read that. I'll be back on Monday. Alex will be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for the rebroadcast, which is coming up in a couple of minutes. This is the Alex Jones Show.